on this episode of Pottages.
So what the hell is Bokemon? What is he?
Well, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my spirit evolution.
They should be dead.
They should be dead.
They should be very dead.
Your password! You can use mine to get on the internet!
Pottages!
Welcome to Pottages, episode 401, Smells Like Preteen Spirit.
The Human Spirits Arc.
Recorded January 8th, 2017.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by my fellow Trailmon, Ashley McDonald.
We're all in this together. Once we know that we are, we're all stars, and we see that.
And now moving on to people who don't think about High School Musical every day.
Listen, Zoe said it like at least five times.
I don't know if you can move to me after Ashley and claim that I don't think about High School Musical every day.
Is that your introduction?
Yeah.
And our final Trailmon, Andrew Hoffman.
I play the cello.
See, we are all what? Filthy High School Musical memers.
Wait, what is?
I only saw the first one.
I don't even get it.
Jeff didn't even get it.
Jeff's a fool.
Can you explain the reference? It's been like
there's
7 years.
There's a cello player in the song. We're all in this
together.
Listen,
High School Musical dies.
Not in We're All in This Together. He's in the one in the cafeteria. Stick to the Status Quo.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Just think of the framing of that movie and the like, let's have a song about sticking to the status quo and then have to rebel against it. And
Isn't that how all movies go?
Anyway, hopefully if we stick to our planned schedule for Frontier, this episode should be coming out with a day or two before the t-shirt campaign for our season 3 t-shirts with Calumon and Imon saying Never Stop Digivolving and Digivolve Your Differences. Those should be ending in a day or two, and you can get them on Teespring. I think they come out to be in the low $20 after shipping, depending on where you are. And that's basically as cheap as we can make them while keeping the most premium quality t-shirt. Figured make them last longest and everything. So anyway, hopefully they're still open. Go get them. Be cool. Yeah, I don't know how else to sell this.
So, recaps.
This week we're looking at the Human Spirits arc of Digimon Frontier with episodes 1 through 9. So here's a quick recap.
In episode 1, All Aboard, aka All Aboring, Matt Tai follows a text from a creepy older woman, gets kidnapped by a cranky, moody train, and beats Kiroberos to prove that zero heads are better than three.
In episode 2, Lobomon, Warrior of Light, aka I Know Now, Without a Doubt, Kingdom Hearts is Light! JP bullies Tommy into bribing Digimon with chocolate until it backfires and they're saved by Rio Matt.
In episode 3, Kumamon Baby Light My Fire, aka Yurikuma on Ice, the kids are harassed by some candles and Tai Kamiya pretending to be a Wizardmon until Kalamon TK turns into a teddy bear with the ability to blow out candles.
In episode 4, Kazemon Kicks It, aka Human Savior Narrative Number 1, Zoe and JR Complaint P try to revitalize the town's tourism industry, which has been ruined by mushrooms, because mushrooms are terrible.
In episode 5, ladies and gentlemen, the Beetlemon, aka the JP Sulksavin Show, JP gets sad that he's the only kid without a fancy spirit toy after they visit a town of factory workers trapped in poverty and slavery.
In episode 6, a molehill out of a mountain, aka that's just the way the cookie grumbles. The kids are running low on Gil, so they accept a side quest to save some NPC snail ladies, meet up with Rio Matt, and get defeated by grammatically challenged Earth Impmon.
In episode 7, Island of the Misfit Boys, aka Toys Will Be Toys, Tai and Matt become a bickering married couple and try to save their adopted child, TK, from the dangers of being like me and my toy addiction.
In episode 8, The Odd One Out, aka Just Say Tsuno to Drugs, Zoe and JP visit a school and learn about the terrifying danger of mixing puberty with public education.
In episode 9, Welcome to My Nightmare, aka Nightmare Bear Care, the kids find a forest of trees stalking the kids' families back home and try to save Tommy from the dangers of sleeping.
Okay, now on to general impressions about this arc. I'll just start with the obvious question. What did everyone think about it?
It's garbage.
It was pretty boring, yeah. There were moments that I appreciated, but also I am wearing the full-on nostalgia goggles for this season. I'm going to be that person.
Oh, no.
No, you're not allowed.
I was like, this is so bad.
Yeah. Ugh. First episode in particular was just like, what?
I know. I was like, how? Why would anybody watch this? Pass this? What?
Because familiarity and Digimon is a powerful drug, you know? Like, you watch it because it's on TV.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there were simpler times.
I mean, I definitely have the same base impression, which is like, wow, this is a lot worse than I remembered, and also a lot more uncomfortable than I remembered. Specifically, the kids are a lot more frustrating than I ever remembered.
I forgot how mean they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. JP was super mean.
Oh my god, JP's... I wanted to have a segment. I rushed out to Ashley and like made a grand gesture to her about this segment I wanted to make. Called, it would be abbreviated WGW, which people would think stands for With the Will, like the song from the season and the forum name, whatever. But it would actually be called Who's the Worst? And we just have to argue about who's the worst every week. And because it's a hard, like, I think JP's the worst.
He's the worst in this arc, certainly.
Oh, don't make me choose.
He's probably the worst throughout.
Yeah, but he gets better by episode 7, 8.
He gets better temporarily, and then I feel like the writers sort of give up on everybody but Takuya and Koji in a very large way.
The Japanese writers, yeah, like the original scenario. I feel like a lot of my hatred of JP just comes from the dub writing and the, like... Mm. I mean, I actually don't know enough, like, I haven't watched Frontier in Japanese to compare, I've just read, like, about some differences between the two, but it just feels like a lot of the writing is punching down at him a lot of the time, and, like, not just punching down at him, but also just depicting him as being really shitty and terrible and obnoxious and sexist and...
Whoa, are you calling a 12-year-old a bad word?
Yeah, you just said a bad word.
What did I say?
You said shitty.
Is that bad of a word?
Bad word.
Okay. Yeah. But on the note of, like, why do people watch this? I think it's interesting that none of these things that were, like, at least for me, none of these things that we're, like, realizing now are really bad about this so far were things that, like, impeding my progress at the time at all. I was just like, yeah! I feel like the things that, like, I latched onto as a kid were totally separate, and I just, like, wasn't concerned with the poor characterization and the unlikableness.
I mean, it's true. I don't remember being bothered by them as a kid. I don't remember being like, I hate that all of you are other characters in Digimon, and you can't change your voice at all because you're not that good a voice actor.
Really?
There are multiple axes to being a good voice actor. One of them is having a range of different voices, which voice actors like Steve Bloom, for example, are amazing at, because, like, JP as Steve Bloom is, like, completely unrecognizable. Is, like, totally sounds completely different from Gilman as Steve Bloom, whatever. But
Gilman is Steve.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But I think it's just one axis. Like, the other axis is good acting. And, like, if you can just make it up into different voices, but you don't actually act the part well and, like, emote well and stuff, then... So I think it's a little bit unfair to say that they're bad voice actors because they don't have a range of different voices.
I think, okay, it's not their fault, but I think that they should not have brought literally everybody back to be a different character.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of...
Because it's really off-putting.
It's kind of difficult to avoid that.
Well, also keep in mind that this was after Saban sold the rights to Disney.
That they got different people? Like, it's a different company.
Yeah, but they probably did this on the cheap, because what do you even remember about the show when it was airing? It was on, like, ABC at, like, early
ABC,
morning.
ABC Family.
Was it ABC Family?
It was definitely ABC Family, because I remember, like...
I know it was on syndication on ABC Family.
Well, it definitely wasn't on network television airing the episodes, which is why, like, Ashley and I couldn't watch it new. I was only able to watch it syndicated on UPN, so...
Yeah.
Because I kind of remember it airing on regular ABC temporarily.
Oh, maybe temporarily. And maybe it's also possible I just missed it, because, like, information back then was not widely circulated.
I feel like I would not have missed it. I used to watch all 5 hours
of ABC
in the Saturday morning. On Saturday morning, I would flip between the channels, and like I would not have just been like, "Oh, Digimon's on. Let me not watch that." Like,
okay, I remember like looking at the different lineups of the kids programming and be like, "ABC, this is terrible. Why would anyone watch this? This is stupid."
I mean, the worst. Yeah, normally skewed towards smaller kids. It was like Winnie the Pooh and stuff.
Don't diss Winnie the Pooh.
Listen, I'm just saying.
I don't have any beef with the voice acting, but probably also because, like, I am deeply entrenched in season 4. But
this is so curious.
I'm actually curious that you guys aren't or don't remember being bothered by the characters, because I certainly was.
Oh, you were
then.
Okay.
Not to the extent that I am now, but I was like. So I was super unfair on Tommy back then, which surprises probably nobody.
Same.
Because we probably all were super unfair on Tommy. And at this point, right. I'm like, Tommy has the most reasonable reactions to any of this.
It's true.
Except episode 2.
Episode 1, when he walks out onto the railing.
What's wrong with episode 2?
Yeah, what's wrong with
he
episode 2?
He decides
two?
To stay for no
oh,
apparent
yeah.
reason.
Okay, so that was weird and dumb on both JP and Tommy's parts, and they should have left.
And no, but Tommy wanted to stay before that.
I know, and even the story is like, well, why are you here? And they're like, I don't know.
Okay, like, but okay. I buy it actually more for Tommy.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah, I think Tommy actually had a reason.
Because Tommy now has hero worship of Takuya.
Yes, that makes
like,
sense.
I want to stay with Takuya.
But JP coming back, like, what's his motivation? The only motivation is that he didn't want to be the only one to go home, which I think makes sense, but also did not come up.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, but was not actually mentioned in the show.
Yeah.
I'm also just annoyed that they didn't know how trains work. They're like, you want to go back? Just take the train back the way that you came. I'm like, that's how trains work!
I wish that's how trains work.
No, but in the first episode, like, the train tells him that you'll need, like, tells Takuya that he needs a spirit to get back. And it's like, that's not even, what? That doesn't make any sense. And also isn't true.
No. Nothing plot-wise makes any sense whatsoever so far.
So much misinformation here.
Yeah.
Just lots of sloppy. I mean, I think there was lots of sloppy writing in the original too, like in original scenario, but also lots of sloppy writing in the dub that I assume those kind of things are from the dub.
I do think the animation is by far better than what we've had before.
Well, definitely compared to season 1, because you have like 3 whole years.
Right.
And they're finally getting the hang of the DigiPaint technology.
What?
Whatever the program's called.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The animation.
Oh.
I mean, it's digital.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. The things that stood out to me were just like there's a lot more dynamicness to fights. Especially
yes, that was nice.
Yeah.
And no, but like also when they're falling, they're actually somewhat animated now. Like if they're falling from like a ledge or something, it shows like maybe the clothes will be fluttering or...
Was this a thing that happened that didn't happen in previous seasons? I recall nothing. Amazing.
In previous seasons, they would be like... clip art.
So they would just fall and the background would like expand. Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying.
I mean, I'm sure that as a child I hated Zoe, but that's just because...
Really?
I still hate Zoe.
Does anyone feel like she talks like she's always yelling?
I don't feel that.
Yeah. I just feel that she's highly annoying.
No, but I feel like she's always like her voice actress is always like to get her points across for any line, she feels like she's always yelling.
No.
I feel actually I'm sympathetic towards that because Zoe reads like she knows she's the only girl in this season and she's trying to as much as she can to use the bad points of that and try to turn them into strengths. But like it comes off as just really bad messages all around.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, I mean, all the characters magically get better at episode like 7 or whatever, but like,
yeah.
Zoe in particular gets better, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm still just like, I'm like, I know the show is doing bad things to you. Like, the show is doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's these like boys not, are doing it.
Not really her fault. She's trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Well, yeah.
But also, I was just annoyed when she slaps JP when he's like, you should go first on the ladder. Right, and she's like, I'm wearing a skirt. And I'm like, that is not the point where you slap a person. Like, you are on a ledge. What are you doing? I just can't take it.
Yeah.
There's a well-articulated point from System Restore, A.R. Pulver's episodic reviews of this of Digimon. She's gone through all the different seasons and reading the ones for Frontier. And he said that Zoe has a pattern of, you know, like, getting really mad and, like, physically attacking the boys when she falsely thinks that they're harassing her, but letting it slide when they actually do harass her.
Yes.
And, yeah, that's one of those instances where it's like, he was not it's just...
Yeah, like, he was genuinely didn't realize that he was trying to be, like, the gentlemanly, like...
I also just hate, like...
I should go first.
I just hate the idea of, like, do you really need antics about skirts and looking up skirts in Digimon? Like, no, that's not the place for...
No, you don't!
Yeah.
They didn't need to have her wearing a skirt in the first place.
They make her take off all her clothes and have to have the Digimon and JP
not. Oh, and that's not even
later.
The only time it happens.
Oh, great.
Yeah. No, this time I was like, this is pretty tame because they don't actually like try and show anything or anything. They just like, it all happens completely off screen. Yeah. I feel some, I don't actually hate Zoe, but like, yeah, the things the show does to her, she like they make her laughably incompetent at times. Like, she tries to save Tsunamon and needs to be saved by Tsunamon instead. And like, things like that. And they're all over the place. Like,
yeah. Like, she's the one who's been needed to be saved twice. Like, in her Digivolution episode, she could not beat the thing. And it's like, what? That's garbage.
Yeah.
It puts her on the same level as Tommy, because Tommy also couldn't beat his. So yeah, that's annoying. I don't find it laughable, but I do think it says a lot about, you know, what the show creators think of women and girls and children.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they're the same. Because, you know, like, the kid several years younger is about the same power level as a girl.
Yep. And we do have a point where we're talking about Kazemon, right? Like, okay, we can get to that later then.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I have a couple of...
So angry.
At a couple of different discussion points. The first one was, does this season, so far, from what we've seen, does it not feel like Digimon? Particularly because they don't have partner Digimon, and they don't have that dynamic, and they turn to Digimon. That's a common complaint lobbed at why people didn't like the season. It didn't feel like Digimon. How do we feel about that?
I think it very much still feels like Digimon, but not for those, like, because it's hitting the same plot points as, like, Adventure, though. Like... Okay, this is the episode where they go to Toy Town and Tommy plays with toys.
And there's a Monzaemon.
Yeah, there's a Monzaemon. Like, there are recurring things that it's like, okay, this is the same Digimon tale, just with slightly less Digimon.
Yeah.
And slightly less kidnapping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also feel that it still feels like Digimon, but it is a very different dynamic for the kids not to have Digimon partners. They also don't seem to have any competent guidance. Bokemon and Neimon are useless. And the kids...
Bokemon would be offended.
He can't even read his book properly. Like, he didn't even know about the page.
Neimon had to show him that there was a page fold. Oh my god. So,
okay, like, I at least appreciate there was, like, a reason given in universe for him to not know that. Because I was like, it's ridiculous he wouldn't know this, you know. But at least they, like, said that there's a whole page turning thing. At least that's something.
Right.
It's so stupid. But.
Okay. I'm actually a little more sympathetic to Bokemon this time around, because now I know he's a rookie level. So he's like a baby.
What do you think he was before?
Why did he get this book, though? Why is he in charge of this?
Why is it in his pants?
I thought he was a champion level because he has a grown-up voice.
Oh, I never thought of that.
What?
Look.
Asher.
Whatever.
Asher, you're weird.
Also, what the hell is Bokemon? What is he?
I don't know, man. I don't
like,
know.
Like, what animal?
A platypus?
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Oh, really?
I would assume. That's what I assume, too. I don't know. The internet tell me these things.
Anyway.
So, yeah, it's different when they don't have any guidance. And it's actually really strange how okay they are with being in the digital world.
But they do have some guidance. I mean, they have the directions from Afanimon, which I think is more than they've gotten from Genai at this point, or Leomon.
Yes, but, like, Ofanimon is also useless.
Forest terminal, Koji.
Yeah, where's that? Like, they don't have any on the ground, one-to-one, here's how you do this practical thing in this strange world you just ended up in. Like, there's a very weird okayness the kids have with being there.
Yeah, and okay, like I would expect, that? Like what I expect from this situation is to be excited about being in this place, about being excited to have this adventure. In some ways, I feel like this is more of like, even though the first season is called Adventure, this is more of the like kids are going on a fun adventure kind of thing. Like they're about, it's about exploring and like the whole theme of trains. And I think
there's nobody keeping them safe, so it actually doesn't feel like a fun adventure.
Right, and also, like, they don't actually express any of that. Like, I'm, like, reading into that. But, like, they're kind of just like, oh, we just have to go place to place. They're kind of, like, treating it with a mundanity, which is really strange.
Yes.
Especially since the first episode kind of set it up as, like, Takuya is chasing his destiny. Like, it's all something epic, and then they just, like, don't care about that. I'm like, what?
It's changed in the dub, but the messages that Koji gets... About, like, I think in the dub, it's more about, like, finding his beast spirit more explicitly, or it's, like, but, like, in the Japanese version, it's more explicitly about, like, you will solve the mystery surrounding you. And it's about, I don't know how much Ashley remembers.
Don't spoil it.
I think we're going to, like, avoid that spoiler in particular.
Okay.
But. But yeah, there is something more to, like, keep him intrigued more than just, like, oh, yes, I must find my beast spirit. So that's kind of interesting.
That's hinted at by the fact that, like... I feel like they also abandon this at some point, but like when he's initially digivolving, they definitely make it like much more mysterious when he de-digivolves. Like when he turns back human.
What about that's mysterious?
I don't know. Like he's just more like, "Rawr, I'm tired, leave me alone."
I noticed that. I thought it might just be because Koji kind of gets beat up a lot more than the rest of them. No, I'm keeping a tally of how many times he falls off of a cliff or something, and I'm 4 in 9 episodes. 4 times. Koji falls. Yeah.
He got his hand crushed.
He almost gets murdered by Takuya.
I love how nobody mentions that ever again. Like, Takuya literally knocked him into a pit.
Yeah.
Wait, when does that happen?
In episode two.
He's protecting Tommy, but he accidentally pushes Koji.
Yeah. And, like, Koji doesn't cite that as a reason not to want to hang out with him.
Yeah, he's just like, nah.
Well, he's like, you're incompetent, which is true. They all are incompetent.
Yes.
Well, they're also,
he should have been like,
12.
You almost killed me!
Yeah. I would have been more mad about that, personally.
I mean, there is a weird cavalierness to, like, heights and falling. Like, they fall lots of times and, like, just kind of land peacefully all the time, so...
I mean, that also happens in Adventure, but in Adventure they look more cartoony, so somehow it's more acceptable. Here, it's like, they fall, and there's miraculously a thing of leaves that doesn't make them break their necks.
Yeah.
They should be dead.
They should be dead.
They should
definitely be dead.
I do also think, like, the not having partners thing, like, having partners in their seasons keeps the kids a little bit introspective. And not, like, they're always kind of, like, thinking about, like, they're talking to their Digimon, which is kind of a representation of themselves in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and, like, at least the way we think about them, too. So, like, but, like, in this season, the characters just lash out at each other. And, like...
It's true.
And, like, they don't really grow aside from how they do in, like... Like, we just see them being mean to each other and stuff before we, like... I feel like the kind of way in which they're all jerks early on would have been called out by Digimon if they had them, if that makes sense.
But, okay, I mean, I don't think that it makes any sense the way that they are, like, jerks to each other in this situation. I do agree that, like, I think it's partially more because... When they are given a Digimon, the Digimon is like, I am your Digimon. And they're like, okay, that's weird. I feel like I should probably do something about that. Whereas with this, like, they much more waffle. Like, Takuya at some point is like, Tommy's just a little kid. We have to protect Tommy. Like, that's our responsibility as older kids.
Yeah.
But I think they also just don't, like, they're like, well, I don't actually care about you. Like, you mean nothing to me except for the fact that we landed here at the same time. Like,
yeah. There's also something I found this time around psychologically disturbing, and I think I had it when I was younger too, about the kids fighting them, like fighting the Digimon themselves, like physically having physical altercations with the Digimon. Like, there's a casual welcoming of violence that I'm just like, no, you're 11 or 8. There's nobody protecting these kids. Yeah.
In the episode 1, when Takuya's like, I'm going to fight this dog with a stick.
It's not even that. Really? Like, Zoe also just goes and slaps the mushroom on. Like, yo.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's also, well, JP and Tommy get attacked by the...
By the Pokemon, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but they're...
Like, this is a very scary situation that is not treated with the gravity it deserves.
Not even children in the past seasons got this much contact with the Digimon.
Well, yes. Yeah, I think it makes sense because they need to make it like, you know, bridge the gap between, like, if the kids start attacking on their own, it makes more sense for them to attack as Digimon. You know what I mean? To have more altercations like that. I think it makes sense.
Like, it makes sense, but it's also, like, there isn't that layer of safety, like, as weak a layer of safety as it is to have a Digimon partner in between the kids and the violence.
Yeah, yeah. I also think that, like, part of having the Digimon partners around, like, kept the kids on their best behavior, if that makes any sense. Mm. Like, they were kind of, like, even though the Digimon are kind of, like, reflections of the kids and stuff, but they also, there was also the element of, like, they were, like, impressionable minds that they had to, like, be good role models to. And now they're just, like, we can just be mean to everyone because it's just us here. And, yeah.
Yeah, they're only on good behavior around Tommy, basically.
And not even that, usually.
I think all of them have a little...
A little bit.
All of them have, like, a Tommy, like, Zoe is, like, the mothering one. Takuya's like, you're my little brother. Koji's also kind of like, you're my little brother, but more in, like, a hateful, like, you need to get your crap together, little kid, sort of way.
Yeah.
You know, like, the good brother, bad brother stereotype? Yeah.
And then JP's just kind of like, Tommy, can you think I'm cool? Because that would really help me.
That's exactly what it is with JP. Yeah. I have a lot of feelings about JP this time around.
Welcome to the first installment of Pottage's Coastal Clash, which we're not sure if we're keeping that name, but for now it's called Coastal Clash, which is our Family Feud style segment. We kind of prototyped this in the end in episode 315. Now we're doing it with questions specifically about Frontier. We're testing it out this episode. We're not sure if it's going to be a recurring segment or not until we see if we enjoy it. But for this episode, we asked our listeners on social media to answer 10 questions. 5 of them are about the 5 kids we meet in these episodes, and the other 5 are about the human spirit evolutions. So there are only 5 possible answers for each one of them. It's basically going to be like Family Feud's Fast Money round, where we split up Ashley and Asher right now. And I'm going to ask Ashley to answer them in 60 seconds, and then we'll put Ashley off and bring Asher back in, and then do it for them, and we'll see who has the highest points. And I think that's all there is to explain. Okay, here we go. I think the way it actually works in Family Feud, I watched a clip, is the timing, the music, or the timer starts once I finish asking the first question. So here we go. Okay, Ashley. Who would be the most into Yuri on Ice?
Tommy.
Who would have voted for Brexit?
JP.
Who would sleep in the latest on a weekend?
Takuya.
Who would spend the most time on Facebook?
Zoe.
Who would complain about spoilers on social media the most?
I just want to say Koji because I didn't say
him. Locked in? Koji?
Yeah.
Okay.
Koji.
now Digimon. Who is most likely to be mistaken for a Power Ranger?
Agumon.
Who would be the best at baseball?
Loboman.
Who would win an all-out brawl?
Agumon.
Who do you think is the most expensive to animate? 10 seconds.
Kazemon.
Who needs the most makeover? Who needs a makeover the most?
Kazemon.
Okay, go. Sorry, I messed up reading the last one.
I kind of want to change the brawl one to Beetlemon.
Nope.
Can't.
Okay.
Can't.
Cool.
Can't even.
Okay, Ashley, now leave.
Do I have to leave? Does it matter?
Oh, that's true. You don't need to leave. That's true. Okay. Yeah, you're privy to everything now.
Yeah.
Asher.
Here I am.
Okay, cool.
It you.
What? It me.
So the total, the highest possible points you can get if every person in the audience answered the same thing for every question and you picked that one thing is 1,000 points. Ashley got 328.
Okay.
But she's going to stay in the line since she actually...
All right. I was like, you shouldn't tell me these things because I don't understand math, but okay.
Yeah, actually, I shouldn't have said the number. That the number was not... We're going to do the whole reveal thing later. Actually, no.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever.
This is very complicated math, Jeff. How'd you figure this out?
There, it's like, are you looking at the like formula?
Yeah. And,
yeah, it's complicated.
Stop talking about math, okay?
Math sucks. I hate this show for bringing math into it.
Yeah.
I think the best way would have been to actually reveal the results with Ashley, then bring Asher back and reveal the results. Anyway.
Whatever.
We'll figure that out. Okay, so the first five questions are the five kids we made in these episodes, and the last five are their human spirit evolutions.
Okay.
And that's basically it. So it's, right, we asked these questions to listeners. Listeners picked their choices, and you want to pick the one that most popular listeners. Yeah.
Sure.
That's basically it. There's going to be music. The way it works is, like, I'll start the timer, which is the music, once I finish asking the first question. Okay?
Okay.
So here we go. Who would be the most into Yuri on Ice?
Zoe.
Who would have voted for Brexit?
JP.
Who would sleep in the latest on a weekend?
JP.
Who would spend the most time on Facebook?
Zoe.
Who would complain about spoilers on social media the most?
Tommy. I don't know.
okay, now Digimon. Who is most likely to be mistaken for a Power Ranger?
Lobomon.
Who would be the best at baseball?
Lobomon.
Who would win in an all-out brawl?
Beetlemon.
Who do you think is the most expensive to animate?
Zoe? I mean, Kazemon?
Who most needs a makeover?
Kazemon.
Okay, cool. You finish within 60 seconds.
Okay.
All right.
I'm glad we had the same last two answers.
Kazemon needs an entire redesign. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. So for the question of who would be the most into Yuri on Ice, Ashley said Tommy. Survey says 16 for that. I mean, Tommy is the
People
ice one.
Are wrong.
He's the ice
They're
one.
They're wrong. They are objectively incorrect.
Well, Asher.
Listeners, get your act together.
No. 16. That was 16%. So, like, out of a pool of 100, 16 people said that. But okay. Asher said Zoe, which was 56. So much, much better.
Oh.
Wow, stereotypes. Girls like ice skating? Wrong.
No, girls like
Fujoshi.
Yaoi.
Yeah.
Is what I was thinking.
I was going with the ice thing.
Actually, I'm sure Tommy would like Yuri on Ice, but for very different reasons.
What? Just for the ice skating?
No, for hero roles.
I'm not sure.
He would look up to these people.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I bet he would.
Maybe in this millennium, yes.
Okay. And so the question, who would have voted for Brexit? You both answered JP, and survey says 44. That's pretty high.
That's pretty high. Okay.
Who was the highest for that one?
The highest for that one, sorry.
JP.
Second one, yeah, JP was highest with 44, Koji with 36, and then Takuya with 16.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
And third question, who would sleep in the latest on a weekend? Ashley said Takuya, survey says 40, and Asher said JP, survey says 36. So they're pretty tied.
Pretty close.
Yeah, those are the highest for those.
Yeah, but the audience is wrong.
Who do you think it should be?
JP, because the dub makes him lazy.
Yeah, but Takuya, like, kind
Although
of
Takuya also...
He's just like, I do what I want, I'm whatever.
He strikes me as a sleep-in late kind of guy.
Yeah, carefree kind of. Okay, so, and who would spend the most time on Facebook? You both answered Zoe. Survey says 40 for that. And that is the highest. Second highest was JP. Why'd you go for the female stereotypes there?
I think it's less about the female stereotypes and more that Zoe is the most, like, body conscious.
Mm-hmm.
I was going for the female story.
Who would complain about spoilers on social media the most? Ashley said Koji. Survey says 28. And Asher said Tommy. Survey says 12.
Yeah, I blanked on that one.
Zoe.
That one was pretty evenly divided. The highest one was 28 for Koji, actually.
Huh. Because Koji likes complaining.
Koji.
Second highest was JP, which I would kind of... Because JP seems the most nerdy. So, like, you'd probably be tracking spoilers. I don't know. Who is the most likely to be mistaken for a Power Ranger? I'm sure Andrew has feelings about this. But Ashley said Agumon with 44 points. Asher said Lobomon with 36 points. And I think those were high, too.
Okay.
Yeah. definitely they.
None of them are like Power Rangers.
Okay. Who would win the best? Who would be the best at baseball? You both said Lobemon with 40, and that was the highest one. Who would win an all-out brawl? Ashley said Agumon with 28, and Asher said Beetlemon with 48. Which I'm surprised Beetlemon was so high with that. Why do people think?
I wanted to switch it to be after I said it. I was like, no, Fisher said Beetlemon.
Why does everyone think Beetlemon would just like kill everyone? Like,
have you seen Beetlemon?
Yeah,
I mean he's big, but like
that's why he would win in a brawl.
Mm-hmm. I guess
he's
so.
Also got really tough defense. Like, the point of a brawl is to be the last one standing.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm looking at the three of them on my shelf, and Beetlemon could destroy them.
Yeah. Could snap Agumon over his leg.
And that's why Agumon has no hands.
What?
On my shelf.
Your toy, yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. He has Q-tips for hands.
For some reason, I know that. I think maybe I've seen pictures you posted. Okay. And then who do you think is the most expensive to animate? You both answered Zoe. Sorry, not Zoe. Kazemon. Same thing.
I answered Zoe.
Yeah. You both answered Kazemon, which was 12. The highest was Lobemon with 40.
Really?
That's
oh,
weird.
That makes sense. That makes sense, actually.
I would expect Agumon, actually, because Agumon, like, has fire.
Lobemon has his silly sword.
Honestly, I think it would be Kumamon.
Really?
Kumamon
oh, because Kumamon actually changes
Kumamon
shape.
Changes a lot,
but, like,
yeah.
His actual shape is very simple.
True.
But, yeah, changing shape seems like it would be hard to transition and stuff. And then, who most needs a makeover? You both answer Kazemon, which was the highest. Yeah, 36%. I guess, because you don't like the fanservice-y aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are many aspects of it I don't like.
Yes. Most of mine are fanservice-y.
So did Asher win?
What was it? Oh, yeah. So total points. Ashley had 328 and Asher had 360. So Asher won.
Woo! Party!
So now on to our Patreon's meta topic for this episode. This was inspired by Ultimate Level Patrimon Sam Kiwagamon. And he basically gave us a bunch of different ideas and then asked us to choose which ones. What's the phrase I'm looking for? Struck our fancy? That's a thing, right? Is that one phrase or am I mixing up two phrases? Strike a fancy?
I don't know. Hmm. I think it's just a phrase.
Okay, cool. I can say phrases. I'm good at words. I'm good at all the best words. Anyway, so...
Yes.
So I titled this segment Digi-Destined and Digi-Destiny, because Sam wanted us to talk about basically how we meet these characters and how they get involved in the digital world. So that's a good point to take a look at each of the different characters now that we've been introduced to them. So we've said before, like, our general impression of them is frustration. They're annoying. but let's take a look at each one. Takuya, how do we feel about Takuya?
He's all right.
He's okay.
Wait, are we doing, like, how they were introduced?
Yeah.
Oh, well then his introduction sucked because episode one sucked.
I didn't think it sucked that much. Like, I liked the game aspect of the way they're chosen and stuff. And like, I think that was a cool way to have them be chosen.
It was boring.
I never liked the first episode.
No, but there
episode.
Were tons of other kids there. What happened to those kids?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Do we find out later some of them?
There is another group of kids they meet at some point.
Okay. I couldn't remember if I like read that in a fan fiction or if that actually happened in the show.
It happened because they were
the bullies, right?
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. And
yeah. They probably died.
What?
Okay. Anyway, to Takuya's introduction, I mean, that episode was like a lot of random BS about like destiny and stuff, but like...
And running.
Yeah, a lot of running. I appreciate the like, yeah. the theme of like destiny a little bit in that like, I think I started talking, I don't think I actually said this. Yeah, that like trains in a lot of media represent, not trains, but like general have like trains and ships and those kind of things that give you transportation represent freedom. And I think that it would make sense if that's one of the thematic angles they're approaching with the season, that like it's a kind of like fun adventure where they get to explore a new land, and like that's why they're, and we're tying into trains with that because it means it's a fun way to like have mobility and freedom. And on that note the station where Takuya starts off is named very similar, not very similar, it's named Jiyugaoka, so the same kind of like naming structure as Hikarigaoka from season one.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty common. It's not like a, not necessarily a callback. But Jiyu means freedom, so like the first train station he goes to is the Freedom train station. I mean, it's a real place too. It's not just like a made-up name.
I mean that's weird because I would disagree with this analysis to some level.
You think it's not freedom
in that? Well, especially the trains in the real world seem suppressive. Like, he's like, I can't get a ticket. Oh, I got a magic ticket. I had to run down the subway. I almost missed the train. Tokyo subway station is all confusing. Like, and then by the time he gets to the digital world, it's like, okay, I guess those trains maybe represent freedom, except they never actually get on any of them. And the ones they try to get on are like, get off of me. Like,
yeah, I think it's a very mixed and muddled message and theme, but I think they were going for it. That's my theory, at least.
Maybe they were going for it. They did it really badly. Like, super poorly.
I mean, there is definitely, like, it's Digimon Frontier, and the frontier in America, anyway, is there's opened by like, trains.
Right.
No, I agree that, like, the imagery of the digital world certainly lends itself to more of the, like, this is an open frontier that you are exploring, perhaps by train, perhaps by walking along a train track because you failed to get on a train. Like, Koji's the only one who successfully actually rode the train at any point in the digital world, but sure, it's definitely going for that. I just don't think that it, like, thought it all the way through.
Yeah, it's definitely going for it, but not going for it very well. So yeah, what do we, and the way the other kids are introduced is pretty much, I think Koji's the only one that's introduced differently. Like, I mean, Tommy, Zoe, and JP are all on the train that Takuya gets on.
Yeah.
Koji took a different train.
Yeah, that's actually kind of weird, because he's clearly part of this group.
He had a different angle.
Yeah, except not really.
A different angler.
Wow. Because it was an angler trail.
He was on an
case.
Angler, right?
Yeah, he was.
But I can't remember, does he end up in the same fire terminal as the other kids? I can't remember if they spelled that out or not.
I think he goes through... No, he doesn't.
He doesn't end up there, no.
No, but his... Wasn't Lobomon in the piece of the forest that they brought back when Takuya...
Yeah.
I guess so.
So I don't know. I don't know what's.
Yeah,
up
I assume he ended up, like, the next station over, and then came.
Why
by...
was nobody else on Koji's train? Is what I'm wondering.
Because he's a loner.
Too cool.
Oh my god.
People tried to get on. He was like, "No, I need to be a loner, guys. Please." And he must.
But
space.
He was the last one on that train, and the first apparently.
Maybe everyone thought it looked too weird.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, anyway, and then Tommy, Zoe, and JP, we all meet on the train, and they are... Well, wait, let's backpedal a little bit. What do we think about Koji so far?
I like Koji.
He's a jerk.
I liked him until he actually became part of the group, and then I was like, oh, now you're the worst. They were all the worst before, and now you just reversed.
Why is he the worst?
I mean, as soon as he becomes part of the group, he's all like, he becomes very Ryo-esque, matching his voice. And I was just like, I can't take it.
Well, okay.
I can't take it.
So like, I think I point out to Ashley that it was Ryo's voice, and she was like, I didn't even think about that. And then she watched the episodes where he joined.
No, that's not true.
It is?
No, I looked it up on my own. I was like, his voice is very familiar. And then I saw that it was Ryo, and I was like, no!
I actually really like his voice, but that's me.
But, like, I definitely think that when he's on his own, he is like... Oh, you guys are useless. And he's kind of frustrating in that arrogance. But then, like, he gets more and more, like, yeah. I think he had reason to say they're useless, but then he's just, like, steps over the line multiple times as being, like, you're pathetic, I'm the best. And it's just like, no, like, it's worse than Ryo in that regard. Ryo is just like, yeah, I'll handle things, but I won't talk down to you while I do it.
It's true. Ryo is more of a lovable jerk.
I'll talk about that a little more.
Oh, okay.
Later, I think. Yeah. But I like Koji, but also I have a strong Koji bias coming in.
I also like Koji, and I think that kind of like those tendencies that he started to show in this latter half of this arc, I think will fade. I don't think they stay around. But also, I didn't pick up on any of this stuff the first time I watched it, so...
I mean, I think they already started to fade.
Yeah, like, he's fine. He'll be fine.
In episode 9, he's already, like, being kind of nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, I hate all of their introductions, because it's kind of like, they all get these mysterious messages that I think, I don't know, I don't get the vibe that, like, Takuya would be like, he's like, I'm bored. Oh, I got some random message about my destiny. Let me go chase that. Like, I kind of feel like destiny is so highfalutin garbage that as a emo 12-year-old, you'd be like, whatever, like, screw you, I think this is just a prank.
Yeah, you wouldn't be like, Destiny, like, that's so cool. Like,
I don't think he would think it was cool.
Yeah.
I don't like that they don't discuss why they're there with each other.
Or they
like, why did you follow the message?
Oh, yeah, they don't discuss that. But they discuss, like, why'd you go on this train? It's, like, really garbage dialogue. It's, like, it was the closest. And, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, like,
oh, I didn't want to be on this train.
Hey, they're all grumpy and,
Well, they don't know each other.
Yeah, but, like, you don't just...
Right, but that's not how you interact with... You don't just, like, go on an adventure, and then the first people you meet, you're like, oh, I hate you automatically. Like, you'd be like, why are you... Like, you'd be curious initially until you have a reason to hate them. Like...
Well, it's like...
This is why I was like, Tsunamon is cool. Tsunamon meets the kids, is kind of in awe initially, and then becomes a jerk after it's, like, they do jerky things to him or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Something jerky happens, so then he goes back to reverting to, like, being nasty.
What's, like, the way the kids act on that train is, it feels like they've been trapped there, or, like, they're there against their will, like, their parents are like, you need to get on this train, or something, like, and there's like, oh, I don't know why I'm here, like, why am I talking to you, like, I don't want to be here, but, like, they all chose to go there, you know, like, they haven't, you know, realized they're in the other world yet, and, like, they haven't decided to stay yet, but they all chose to go accept the call, accept finding out the message and stuff, and yet they're treating it like they've been, like, dragged along to a department store by their parents, and, like,
Yeah. Which leads to the sense that, like, they're trying to make up for how they did this uncool thing in a way. Like, like they're like, oh, I thought this would be cool, but now it's not.
I think they're like, yeah, that makes some sense.
Yes.
Do we have any thoughts about, like, the characters of Zoe, JP, and Tommy?
I feel like
the three of them are the least likable characters.
Of course, because... Duh, but also...
Well, yeah, not in the way, like, they're not Takuya or Koji. I mean, just, like, they're all just annoying and frustrating and...
Oh, no, I said that because, oh, they're not Takuya and Koji. they are all, you know, off the Takuya and Koji model, like, physically. And that means we're not supposed to pay as much attention to them. But I actually, this time around, I am finding subtleties in their characters that I don't think I picked up on as a kid, especially JP and Tommy. Like, Zoe, I always had a soft spot for, so, yeah.
I get that there are subtleties to them, but, like, they're just so frustrating here. And, like, I'm sure that's going to fade. I'm sure that's, like, the point of introducing them.
I don't know if you should be sure about that, but, okay.
I think the best way to describe them is they have, like, good, like, they're good characters, but the execution of their character is bad.
Yeah, there's some sloppy writing here.
Like, there's something there. It's just not coming out because of the writers.
Yeah, and I think, like I mentioned before, some of that's scenario and some of that's dub, too. I think both writers are culpable.
Yeah. And, like, there's only so far you can take that as a reason because, like, yes, the writers are responsible for all
everything.
Characterization.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think, yeah. I think Zoe is particularly fascinating. There was that one scene that wasn't in the intro. Never mind. I'll bring it up later.
Okay.
Zoe is everything I don't like about women.
Wow.
I know what you mean, and I disagree with you. But I know what you mean.
Life disagrees with me, and that's fine. It is very much the thing that I've been like... I must accept these things.
Yeah.
They are not inherently wrong.
Yeah, but they are annoying.
But my brain is like, no.
Yeah, totally. There's a note. Discussion. Is Kazemon fan service-y? The answer, yes, that is the discussion.
Okay. Okay. What would you like to say, Jeffrey?
I wrote that as a discussion because I see that as a common, like, it seems to be a consensus. Everyone agrees to that. But I'm kind of surprised with that because I never really thought of her that way.
No.
Maybe, is that just a limitation of my own?
Would you like me to explain it to you?
I mean,
yes, actually, Jeffrey. I would.
I mean, I get that she is wearing a bikini and is wearing much fewer clothes than a Digimon would be expected to.
Okay. In their Digivolution sequence,
they
highlight different things.
Her butt.
Yes.
For the boys, it is always head, hands, chest area sometimes, and then feet.
Yes.
Zoe is very much head. There's no hands. Don't give a crap about her hands or feet. It's like head, like breasts, then butt, then
there's
that. It actually
that.
Does make me uncomfortable.
It makes me super uncomfortable. She's 11. It made me uncomfortable as a 12-year-old.
And I tracked that it is the only one, like,
yes,
the boys have subtle differences, but it is always head, hands,
yes,
chest, feet.
Yes.
Whereas Zoe definitely gets extra emphasis.
And the fact that it's also like a garter belt doesn't help.
Yeah. Also, her attack, where she attacks with her butt. Like, yes. What is that?
Yeah. What the hell
what
is that?
What is that?
This isn't Keijo. This is not Keijo.
That's such a strange... Like, I get that. I guess that has to be fan service, but also just weird.
No, okay. Like, I also think her other attack is fan service, too. The one, yes, where she spins on the ground and opens her legs.
Yes.
Like, her legs are... Why? What the hell is this?
Yes, I agree with that. Also, the way that Digimon respond to her butt tap attack is disturbing, largely.
Yes.
What else?
The thing she fights against.
What? Mushrooms?
Mushrooms and wood.
Wood.
I didn't want to think about that. I didn't want to make that connection.
I didn't want to make that connection
so
either.
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, back off the wood track. There's a lot of good points. I was thinking just of like the static character design, and I was like, yes, she is wearing skimpy clothes, yes, but like in the scheme of, yes, Digimon fan service, that's very minor because I get so much worse.
But in the scheme of the show, it's like gross.
Okay, no, but I still kind of defend the static character design. Like, I never, like, nothing about that ever like stood out to me as being like I'm supposed to be attracted to it.
I mean, it's Angewomon, but as a butterfly or whatever.
But I also feel like it's much less accentuated than Angewomon. Like, I get that I'm visible to a lot of fan service because it's not something that bothers me. Like, it doesn't affect. Like, it's not like I'm the thing being represented that would be in that offense level. But like, it didn't even appeal to me as something that's like I'm supposed to be attracted to this. But also, it's for kids, and like, I don't know.
I had a visceral reaction to this even as a kid, like, just no. Also, it's a little different with Angewomon and with Kazemon because Kazemon is an 11-year-old child.
And Angewomon's
like... And Angewomon is not.
He's like above adult level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, I definitely think beyond the static character design, though, there are plenty of things that are like, that's just fan service.
I totally agree. Like, there were so many signals beyond the static character design that...
Yeah.
And, like, she hasn't been effective in any fight except, I guess, the escape plan.
Right.
She was effective there.
But even then, she had to get saved against, in-training Digimon.
Wasn't she fighting Goblimon?
She was fighting the Goblimon.
Oh, was she? At that point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she was fighting the Minomon at first. I was like, all right.
No, she started fighting the Goblimon after that.
Okay. As I recall, she also was, expected to fight way too many Goblimon. Like, it didn't make any sense as a plan.
Yes. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Well, she was only a distraction.
Yes.
Yeah, but you can only distract
her
for so long.
And you don't find some problem with her being relegated to only distraction while all the guys got to go fight even JP, who didn't have a spirit at that point.
Yeah.
Although I really appreciated JP's contribution to that battle.
That's
like, way to use your head, JP.
At that point, but before that, he was just being a whiny brat. And
I thought his points were actually quite good. He was useless at that point, and he had been, excluded.
No, but he was, it was, the argument he had with Takuya was really frustrating because, there are many legitimate reasons to fault Takuya's plan. But instead, he was just it was just, personal, I'm just annoyed that you're leading. Like, it was... super bitter, and I'm not articulating my words well. It was really poorly executed and just made him seem, and I joked about this in the recap, but I do think there's something really unsettling that they're touring the facility and seeing all these people in slavery, and he's like, I don't have a spirit yet. And it's like, dude, you're seeing all this suffering and you're just complaining about how you're not in the party yet. But
I actually disagree with you. I'd like to push back against that. I feel like that narrative was actually tied very well into JP's lack of power. I think some of this has to do with stuff we don't learn about JP until later. But the whole vibe I've been getting through these 9 episodes where, he bribes people with... or he bribes Digimon with chocolate. He tries to get in with Tommy and sort of feel like they're on the same wavelength and get him to do something. I disagree with your assertion that he bullied Tommy into leaving in episode 2. I don't think that's what happened.
Really?
That's what happened there. Yeah, I don't. I think that JP is... his way of dealing with the world, his way of surviving, you know, social, like the threat of being outcast socially is to be funny, to be, to like give snack, like to give things that make people like having him around, and don't expose the real JP to the threat of loss or hurt or having his feelings hurt. Like, he does not know how to deal with real people, and that's very clear.
Yeah, I agree with
and that assessment. The idea of powerlessness as everybody else progresses beyond him when he is the oldest and he does not have any way to make himself relevant. Like, I understand why he bailed on that fight.
I guess I'm just like, I totally understand in the abstract that he would be frustrated with the situation, but like the way he did it was very like self-centered instead of like caring about the people that like he had to have that the little Kakuamon, like the little baby one, like inspire him, because he like did not seem to care about them at all until that point. And
I mean, I think he cared, but he was relating more to their helplessness than to their hope until he had to go.
Oh, but boom.
Also, I think, Jeff, that you take JP like on a personal level that I don't. You know? So, like you've mentioned as much before, like, you have personal grievances with JP's character.
I guess. But I think it's in, like that I see myself as JP, which I feel like that would give me the opposite reaction in this situation.
No. Characters that are like me, I often find more faults with them than is necessarily fair.
Yeah, I guess it's also, like, the fact that I empathize with him so much means that, like, every time he does, like, everything, there's, like, a poorly written thing, I'm like, oh, no, JP, you wouldn't do, like, this would just, like, everything would be so much easier, JP, if you just did this one thing differently, because I'm, like, critiquing it almost as myself in a way, you know, in a way that, like, if it were a different person, I wouldn't be so critical of and frustrated with. But, like, yeah, I mean, it's also, like, the thing about him having to find ways to relate to people and, like, get their favor with chocolate and stuff like that, and, like, not show his true self. The episode with the school, where he, like, couldn't understand that Tsunamon was a loner and, like, didn't want all his attention shoved on him. I guess it is different, because, like, JP does want attention and does those things to get attention. But I found it really bizarre how, like, JP seemed to not understand the concept that Tsunamon was left out and was, like, not part of the group.
JP was legit trying to help, because what he tried was something that worked for him.
Spelling out my argument, I realized that that's what you'd say, and I agree.
Yes.
Okay. To close off this segment about the kids and Digidestined and stuff, I wanted to just quickly run through something I thought was interesting, which is the kanji that the Japanese names are written with. Spell out some interesting things, which in the history of Digimon, I think Tamers was more naturalistic with using like names that didn't have like hidden meaning in the kanji, and Adventure was a bit more of a middle ground, like Tai Chi's last name Yagami is like eight gods, and it's like but I think Frontier, in kind of fitting with its more like elemental approach, and anyway, just they seem to be a bit more on the nose with those kind of things. So for example, Takuya's first name doesn't really mean, it just means like open and to be, it doesn't really mean much, but his last name Kambara means spirits. And it's also written with the same, it's written the same character, like the Khan is the same as Gami. So it's also like God, but spirits. So it's the same character as Tai's last name, which is kind of a nice callback. Koji's first name, his last name just means origin, Minamoto, but it's also very similar to Takuya's. So Kambara, the Bara, and the Minamoto look very similar. There's like one thing that's different. So that's kind of interesting. They're connected. But also Koji's first name is written with a character for radiance and two. Just going to leave that out there.
I also, Minamoto is, I'm pretty sure it's also a very famous Japanese surname for samurai, for a particular, hang on, Minamoto. Like, Yoshitsune was a Minamoto. It was like a big samurai clan, and Yoshitsune was like a big general guy. Yeah. So, we're supposed to look at him and see samurai. Like, that's his entire character design.
That makes sense. But yeah, also, radiance and two, that's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, because he's the light guy.
Light guy. And
okay, Jeff,
Tommy's name is kind of just on the note. Like, his Tomoki is like friend and wood. I don't know why there's wood in there, but his last name is also just like, oh, Ashley.
No!
Ashley!
He's eight!
I had to jump in this conversation.
Also, I think it's like woods, not like wood.
Forest. Anyway. They get lost in a forest.
Anyway, the thing that's on the nose, just his last name is like ice and view. And it's like,
what's his last name?
Ice. Oh, Himi. Ah. So the he is ice and the me is view. So that's kind of weird. And JP and Zoe, I don't really. Junpei just means like, Junpei I think is just a pretty common name.
Yeah.
And the kanji just mean pure and peace. And Shibayama means firewood and mountain, which doesn't really connect to JP at all. And Zoe, her name, Izumi, means fountain, which doesn't really connect to her at all, unless like the thing that came to my mind immediately was also mentioned in Dijonmuki, and I was like, oh, I'm surprised that they also mentioned that, because it doesn't really connect, but is the like that she kind of has a rivalry with the water spirit eventually.
Yeah,
but that's a weird, that wouldn't make sense to name them like that, and a last name just means like weaving and source. So I don't know, some of those are interesting.
Meh.
Oh, actually, this might be interesting too. In the Japanese version, the names of the attacks have some themes based on languages. So the obvious one is that like Zoe, Kazemon / Fairymon's attacks are all named Italian in the Japanese version. Like, they're all Italian names. And Wolfmon, which is also Lobomon, all of his attacks are German. So that's okay. A thing. You like German.
Of, like, Beowulf?
Yeah, I mean, like, also, like, the name Wolfmon in Japanese is not... It's written Wolfmon in the official romanization, but it's, like, said in Japanese, like, Wolfmon. Like, it's supposed to be the more German way of saying. Yeah. And also Beowulf eventually, so... Wolves, they're German, right?
Wolves are German. Okay.
So, like, we've already talked a lot about how these kids are really frustrating and hard to like, at least in these early episodes. Does that include Takuya or not?
I haven't really been thinking of it including Takuya that much.
I include him anyway. Takuya slightly. I mean, I find his motivations annoying. Annoyingly vague.
Yeah. So the idea I have is that these kids actually don't understand how to communicate with one another in any meaningful way at all, except for Takuya. And I find it also revealing that, like, he's the only one. Oh, no. Tommy has older brothers, I think. He's the only one we know of so far that has siblings. Koji and JP are both stated only children, and I'm pretty sure so is Zoe. And there's the idea that we know that Zoe was isolated. Takuya goes ahead and says, Koji, I know you don't have any friends. And he's like, well, where did you get that idea? But there's a really profound, like, sense of isolation with many, if not all, of these kids, especially without a Digimon partner to help bring them out of their worldviews. They all have different coping mechanisms and different, like, defense mechanisms, almost, to deal with other people. Except for Takuya. Takuya's fine, I guess. he's actually really not a very good leader, I find, but he's the only one of them, of the five of them, that has any real sense of how to work with people. Like, Zoe tries. She's actually got a very strong leader drive, I feel, but, like, I don't think she wants it, really. She just wants to have control over some of the situation. So I'll start with Zoe then, where she's very, like, bright and peppy and kind for the most part. But then she's also that one scene in episode 8?
Her flashback?
Question mark? Yeah, her flashback where the other girls are calling her snobby and stuck up. And I'm like, yeah, because you are. You're not making eye contact with them when they talk to you. Like, you're not... You don't have to be interested in what they're interested in, but you're showing no interest in them as people. It's like, you are clearly just...
I was really frustrated that. Like, I think what they're going for is that, like, she was in Italy, so she didn't know the Japanese customs, and that there are certain things you're, like, expected in Japanese society to, like, answer certain ways and to do certain things. And
yeah.
That, like, so she didn't know those things. And that's sure. why she, like...
And that's...
No, I don't think that's it. I think she just couldn't.
I'm pretty sure that's, like, the heart of that idea, but I think they executed it so poorly that, like...
They executed it super poorly.
Then it became about her, like, I don't want to lie by, like, pretending to be interested in these girls. And it's like, but you don't get to be interested in them unless you just, like, try to hang out with them a little bit. Like, that's just, yeah. like, oh my god, like... And she didn't want that little worm on keychain. That keychain was super cute.
I mean, she didn't even look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have forgiven her more if she had actually turned and looked at the people talking to her.
Yeah.
But she did not. Like, I can accept that she was abroad for most of her life. And, like, it could be that she doesn't even know Japanese that well. But that's not what they showed here.
And the lesson she takes away from it is, like, totally wrong, too. Like,
I mean, no, I think if she is herself, like, she's herself around the boys here. She's herself around Takuya most of the time. But
socializing with those girls wouldn't require being less of herself. Like,
right,
meeting
exactly.
their eye contact wouldn't require that. Like,
yeah. Like, she's clearly a friendly person. She just completely dropped the ball in her past, apparently. So, that's one. I named this topic, Can You Talk the Talk? Because none of these kids know how to talk to other people. as people. And even she, I would say she is more herself among the Digidestined here. Or the Legendary Warriors, or whatever you want to call them. But she... As she is being herself, she is also taking on this role of the girl, which is just so deeply frustrating. Like, I understand why she would, and in some ways is narratively required to, as the only girl around.
It's frustrating to me that we're showing her flashback where it's like, you're a snob, and it's like, yeah, you were a snob, but, like, why? Like, we're not answered why, and then in every instance where we're shown her being a snob, she is talking to girls, and so it's just like, okay, so you don't behave this way around boys, you were mean to girls, like, I just don't, it, like, feels somewhat even grosser in a gender way because of that, and I'm just like, I don't understand you, like, I don't...
Yeah.
Your motivations don't make sense to me, and so I'm really off-put by them.
On the one hand, like, I'm inclined to believe that probably, I mean, in most media, it does seem that guys keep to their own and girls keep to their own in Japanese elementary schools, which she'd be in, right? Elementary school or maybe middle school? Either way.
I think so.
In sixth grade?
But I think, yeah, I think they're 1 year older in the Japanese version.
Oh, really?
I think so. At least,
all right,
at least
so middle school.
When a middle school, actually, middle school in Japan would be 7, 8, 9.
Oh, really? Okay, so elementary school then. I think that's... I also feel that it might not be because these are guys here. It's because she's in an entirely different world. She can start over. She can be herself. And, like, what are the social repercussions? Like, they're stuck with her.
The social repercussions is the digital world could be destroyed.
It's like when you go to summer camp and you're a completely different person.
I was thinking college, too.
That, too. It's the same sort of deal.
And I was trying to, like, if I'm trying to make sense of how she looks back on that flashback, like, maybe the point is that initially she made those couple blunders and then was locked into being considered snobby and then tried to make eye contact and tried to reach out to people but couldn't because they...
But we don't
right.
see it.
We don't see that, but, like, that's how I, like, in my head canon make sense of it. So it would make sense that, like, now she's in a completely different environment and she can start over, clean slate, and...
Yeah. Yes, that's pretty much how I feel. But yes, it is super frustrating the way it is portrayed, the fact that it's all girls before and all guys now, and the way she handles her femininity, like, the way she weaponizes it, I can respect that. Like, it's an important tool, and that's sort of all she ends up becoming, which is terrible and annoying.
Yeah, it's kind of like she gets split up with JP, and she's like, well, okay, it's easy to manipulate JP, because he is the most, like... horn doggy of all these people, so let's go. Yeah.
And she's completely right in her assessment of JP, and, like, fair enough. Oh, God. All right, let's talk about JP, too.
Okay.
I mentioned some of this already in that I feel that JP is not used to having real friends. Like, there's Kazemon Kicks It, he's like, you can't do that to my friend. It's the most genuine thing he's ever said. I get the idea he doesn't have real friends.
I was proud of him for saying friend there, because I really thought he was going to say girl, and I was like, yeah. Don't say it.
No, it's like the idea that, I think that's actually why he came back in episode 2, although it was way not enough time for him to feel this way, is that like, he, for the first time, is having real connections with people, and he doesn't understand that's what's happening, but he doesn't want to let that go, also. And that's why he's so invested in Zoe and Takuya and Tommy to a lesser extent. In episode 2, when he's, you know, talking with Tommy, he's picked up on the fact that Tommy would like to go home. Like, fair enough. Tommy's very vocal about that. And yes, JP also wants to go home, but he doesn't bully Tommy into it. Like, he's working with Tommy's wants, and he's like, you and I are... We're part of a team. We're on the We Want to Go Home team, so let's go.
But he also ignores when Tommy starts to hesitate and, like...
Yes, because he wants to go home. He is a selfish person. I'm not saying he's not. I just don't think he's a bully.
Right, but I consider that part bullying. That, like, sure, yeah. It was initially, like, Tommy's desire, but, like, saying, like, yeah, I'm not going to let you change your mind.
Well, they all... In that case, they all kind of bully him. Takuya's like, no, go home. Zoe's like, go home, Tommy. It's okay. Like,
yeah. Huh. I guess for some reason, I don't know why I found those more acceptable.
It's because you don't like JP.
No. I think it's because those were like, Tommy, you need to be safe. Whereas JP was like, I want to go home. I need someone to go home with me. That's what it felt
but
like.
JP also takes care of Tommy as they're leaving. Like, he does. There was a scene where he protected him or helped him up or something. And I was like, oh, I never noticed that before. Is that JP feels that same sense of responsibility for Tommy that Takuya does. He just also is a selfish person. Like, I'm not denying that.
Yes. Do motivations matter? I don't know.
I don't know. They'll matter, maybe. Like, they matter... I mean, it depends on what you're measuring. Mm. Koji, we don't actually know enough about Koji to talk about why he's such a brat.
He's cozy. That's all you need to know.
Right now, he's the mysterious light person, which actually is making me think about him in Kari lights, fascinatingly enough. He is the one with the most contact with Ofanimon at the moment, which...
Is weird,
but not that weird when you consider that his spirit is light. Although it is weird when we're not supposed to know it's Ofanimon yet, I guess. And Tommy, I am actually much more willing to cut Tommy some slack now that I am 27, not 12.
Well, yeah, because,
oh,
like,
my God, this poor kid.
When you're 12, you're, like, on the same page as the other kids who are annoyed by him, but, like, when you're, you can understand that it's, I think it's both reasonable for the other kids to be annoyed by him. And for kids of that age watching to be annoyed by him.
Yeah.
And for him to not actually be annoying.
I'm perfectly aware of why he's annoying. Like, I dislike crying children as much as the next person who's ever been on an airplane. But, like...
And having a brother.
Yes. Yes. I am very aware of what crying children sound like. Thank you, Andrew, for enlightening lifetime. But also, like, Tommy and JP are the only ones to ever have real concerns. JP's thinking about his stomach. Like, yeah, you need 3 meals a day, people.
Yeah,
how are you
like,
alive?
Wait, if you guys have not eaten any food, what? Like, JP seems legit in being like, guys, we should probably eat food.
Yeah, Jesus.
That's even weirder because I don't remember if it's spelled out in the dub or if it's a difference in the Japanese version. But like, in the Japanese version, they make it clear that it's been a month when they're in the TV forest.
What?
And it's like, what? How?
What?
They've been there a month?
Well, so it's spelled out because the line about the cherry blossoms in English is kind of just like, oh, cherry blossoms. But in Japanese, they're like, we left when the cherry blossoms were blooming, and it's a month later. Why are they still blooming? This must be pre-recorded footage. But it's actually because time weirdness.
Oh.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's messed up.
Yeah, they had like 2 meals.
They should definitely be missing their parents at this point. Like, what is wrong with this show?
Right, so I don't know, like, if, like, in the dub canon, does that still exist? Is it still a month if, like, nothing in the show indicates that? Oh, debatable.
I would never have guessed. I would have guessed it had been 2 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I think it's better if it's 2 days.
If it's been a month, shouldn't they be like know each other so much better?
Yeah,
yeah, like, right?
They're still like, oh, I just met you, and this is crazy, yeah. But here's my spirit evolution.
So okay. Fight with me, maybe.
All right. So anyway, that's my spiel about these maladjusted children and how they all have really broken ways of... Oh, I didn't talk about Tommy. Tommy, actually, I don't think it's that he doesn't know how to relate to people. He's just young. He doesn't...
Yeah.
He hasn't learned. So that's all I have to say about Tommy.
And I also think that we shouldn't expect... Like, I think we've had weird expectations set up because of the previous younger kids, like TK and Cody, being not that immature. I mean, Cody was very mature. TK was like...
Yeah, TK was immature. Like,
TK's immature. I feel like Tommy's more realistically immature.
I definitely get TK vibes from Tommy.
Sure.
Yeah, like, Tommy just cries more than TK. Like, they were both... I would say Tommy's more mature than TK.
Oh, really? I guess I feel like Tommy, like, has more reason to be... Like, Tommy doesn't have his older brother there. He has older brother surrogates only. And TK was at least protected, so, like...
But I feel like that would... I don't know. Like, that would, in some ways, make TK worse because he just rely on Matt, but also not want to rely on Matt and such and such.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Tommy actually has a better head on his shoulders than TK
did. And he feels much more protected because Matt is there, so he feels less responsibility to do anything properly.
But I feel like the fan reaction is more harsh to Tommy for being babyish than it is towards TK for being babyish.
Because TK is cute and babyish.
Oh, you're saying Tommy's not cute?
He's not as cute as TK. He doesn't smile as much. He doesn't smile as much. Yeah.
He's really mopey.
Yeah.
Hmm.
People don't like that. They only like that when it's couched in being cool and wolfish and blue.
Yeah.
And blue?
And older.
Dabba dee, dabba da.
Yeah. And samurai-like. And mean.
Yeah.
Who are you describing? I'm confused.
Koji!
Oh, I see. Okay. I get it now. I thought you were describing another young kid.
I thought you were pretend not getting
it. No, I thought you were describing TK. I was like, how do these describe TK? I'm so confused.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Oh my god. I don't know. I still maintain that even if they were maladjusted children, I don't think that this is how any humans would react to going to a different world and meeting other humans.
It's messed up. It's like, what is wrong with you people?
Wait, Asher, do you think that they're going to change in these regards?
Yes. I think they are already starting to change, even if it's in a really weirdly uneven, sloppy writing kind of way. But I also have the advantage of knowing that they continue to struggle with some of these things.
Hmm. Yeah, because my perspective, not remembering how unlikable they were, I assumed that like they would make them so unlikable at the start and so unable to connect to each other with the intent of like, and that's how they'll grow over the course of the season, that by the end, they'll get along much better. They'll be able to relate to each other. They'll be more likable.
Yes. Yeah. That totally happens.
Okay. Since my memory doesn't have any of the unlikableness, I'm like, I don't know. I don't trust any of my memory at this point. Okay. What I want to talk about this episode is a pattern and a trope that I noticed in these episodes. It's not the first time it's happened in Digimon. There are plenty of examples in previous seasons, as recently as Tamers. And it's the trope is generally called the White Savior narrative. Also seen like on TV tropes that they call like Mighty Whitey, which I find weird.
Really?
Yeah. And there's even like in the Wikipedia article for the White Savior narrative, which I think is like a academic paper was written about calling it the White Savior narrative. There's like one reference on this Wikipedia page that calls it Mighty Whitey. And I'm like, this is just a cheesy trope, so I seem to edit this page. Like,
oh my god.
Anyway, so obviously race isn't directly equivalent here. Like the characters, you know, like it, naively, someone who isn't really familiar might say like, oh, the white characters look white, but like they're coded ambiguously so that Japanese culture, in Japanese, they view them as Japanese, and to young Americans, we view them as American. It's generic coding that is like featureless in regards to race. So anyway, I'm not saying these characters are white. I'm mostly thinking this as the human savior narrative.
Okay.
And that, so I'm just going to read a basic description of the white savior narrative. I mean, well, before I get into reading it, it's basically the idea that like, well, actually, no, I'll read it because that's easier. So in cinema, the white savior is a narrative trope by which a white character rescues people of color from their plight. And the Wikipedia article goes on to say that it has a bunch of extensive history in the cinema of the United States. And it's usually about like a figure who's white who learns something about themselves in the course of helping non-white characters. And reading, so this is more from the Wikipedia article. In cinematic narrative, the white savior character usually is a man who is out of place within his own society until he assumes the burden of racial leadership in order to rescue non-white foreigners and minorities, racial and ethnic, from their plights. As such, white savior stories are essentially grandiose, exhibitionist, and narcissistic fantasies of psychological compensation. So before going on, I think there are a lot of parallels in that to Digimon, but it's obviously not literal. You know, like, Digimon aren't an actual class of people that are being marginalized in this kind of depiction, but I think it is metaphorically resonant in the same way that, like, there are a lot of talk about how science fiction in general can be used as a metaphor for societal issues. Mm-hmm. So, for example, this isn't science fiction, but, like, you often hear that X-Men is a metaphor for racial injustice, or, like, I remember, like, in X2, the movie, that there's a scene where a character comes out in with having as being a mutant, and it's, like, supposed to be a metaphor for coming out as queer. But
Wait. Uh-huh. Did you just say X-Men isn't science fiction?
I guess it is. I'm thinking of it as, like, okay, X-Men science fiction. Fine. I was thinking of, like, space science fiction as science fiction. And there's definitely valid criticism of that metaphor, that, like, instead of having metaphors about racial minorities, you could just feature racial minorities, like, and instead of, like, having, like, metaphors about queer characters, you could just make stories about queer characters. Like, you know, these metaphors and things about these marginalized groups can also involve them, and, like, it's not really, like, a pass to be like, oh yes, X-Men, it's such a great queer story, you know, that doesn't feature any queer characters. Like, there's more to be done in that regard. And, like, but anyway, if you admit that, like, X-Men not featuring any gay characters can be a positive metaphor for coming out stories, even if it's flawed, even if you admit that that's positive, then I think you have to admit that, like, a story like this, where it's about humans coming in and saving the indigenous Digimon from their plights, and then moving on and going to the next area, saving them, going on to the next area, saving them, and, you know, learning more about themselves in the process, that if X-Men is a positive example without featuring the marginalized group themselves, that this is a negative example of the white savior narrative without actually featuring a dichotomy of white and non-white.
I'd also like to point out that Japan has an imperialist history. Like, they have done this exact thing. So it doesn't have to be a white savior narrative. It's a narrative common to any imperial thing.
And, like, I feel like it does come out with Zoe having lived in Italy, and then, I mean, her behavior is like, yes, you seem like you deserve that, but I think there's also another layer of, like, Japan is really unaccepting of foreigners, and, like, they wanted her to, like, assimilate and stuff, and, like, that sort of thing also layered on top of that, since Japan is also very homogeneously Japanese.
Yeah, and, like, the idea that, like, she's, because I think they spell it in the Japanese version, that she is, like her heritage, like, she's born Japanese, she's full Japanese, I think. Actually, no. Yeah, she's full Japanese, but she's, like, just lived outside of Japan for a while, and then coming back, she's not considered Japanese enough. And it's like, well, that's, like...
Right, and I think people get confused about white savior narratives, because I feel like it's kind of, like, it's normally based... I'm thinking of historical ones where it's like, but that's, like, based on history. That's what really happened. And, like, the deep flaw of these narratives is normally that it's, like, it's not that it didn't happen mostly that way or whatever. Like, it's not that white people weren't involved in it or whatever, and we're just lying. It's kind of, like, they are not, like, it is a movie about a certain group of people where you are meant to sympathize with the people who are kind of the oppressors, but, like, are fighting their own, like, trying to make themselves feel better by being like, but we also save them from the oppression that we did to them. Like,
yeah, it's like recentering the narrative. Like, I haven't actually seen 12 Years a Slave, but I've heard criticism that, like, it's supposed to be about the slaves, but instead it recenters about the white people who helped the slaves. And I think that's pretty common for this kind of, like, the movies that are criticized in this way.
No, so I think the problem with Digimon that I struggle with in particular is that, like, the humans can turn into Digimon. So in some way that seems like they should be able to empathize with the Digimon more. But we're never given any insight. Like, they don't say they feel differently when they're Digimon. Like, there's no insight into them. They don't lead the lives of the Digimon. They just become Digimon when it's like, all right, we need to become badass. So we're just going to put on the clothes of the Digimon and then, like, beat them up.
It almost fits the textbook definition of cultural appropriation.
Right. It does.
I mean, like, I get that it's partially ridiculous to, like, be talking about these kind of things with Digimon, but, like, they are, like, putting on the masks of the Digimon to get their powers to then come in and, like, disrupt their lives for the good, But then they just go on and move on and don't really, aren't concerned with how they're, you know, they just depict it as like, everything's better, everything's cool now. But I don't know. I mean, I also, I'm curious, Ash, what you think about this, because like, it's something that I thought about in regards to One Piece. There's no like racial difference there, but like the narrative structure of One Piece, and I'm sure this is, there are tons of more examples in One Piece, if it's that common in One Piece, but it's that like, you know, they go to an area, the area seems cool, but actually there's some villainy going on there. And they disrupt it, they take down the villain, they go to the next area. And it's like, they never deal with like the lasting impact of like, you know, taking down whatever corrupt leader. And like, but they're always foreigners come in like, I have assessed that this is the bad guy and I'm going to take down this bad guy. And now everyone's happy and they move on. And it's like, I get that in the narrative, that seems to be the right course of action. But it's like, in reality, coming to a foreign territory, being a foreigner and assessing who the bad guys are, and then just like getting rid of them and then be like, cool, everything's great now, moving on, is like super problematic. And is like
that.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Yeah. That would be problematic. I am not caught up with One Piece, but at least in the early, really epic arcs, like, blah, 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 Skypiea and Alabasta. In those ones, the natives are really heavily involved in the struggle and arguably do most of that sort of work themselves. A lot of the threats also come from the outside.
Yeah, like a crocodile in the Alabasta arc is not a native. Yeah. Is manipulating things from behind the scenes to like take over a country. So it's they're both foreigners.
And
yeah.
So is what's his face? Eminem.
Eminem, what?
I don't remember what his actual name is.
I think it's
the
like
lightning guy.
Enodu, NL, or
NL. Yeah. He's also not from there. Pretty sure.
I don't remember where he's from, but I know he goes to the moon afterwards. Which...
Yes, he does go to the moon. One Piece is great, guys. In later arcs, it might be a problem. I'm lost in the middle of the Dressrosa arc, I think, somewhere.
Well, Dressrosa is the last arc that has a conclusion at this point, so that's not really...
Okay. I mean, it's been a couple years since I caught up.
And so. All you need to know about Dressrosa is, like, there's a bad guy, and I think he is from there. And
he is from there?
Okay. Yeah.
I just feel like...
But he also deposed the actual king, so, like, there was a disruption of the way of things.
True. So, Ashley, what are you saying?
It just feels like these are glorified examples of what actually happens in, like,
right.
In the real world. We're not like, oh, we totally went to war and then just left. Like, World War II is like, okay, and then we occupied Germany and Japan. Like, that's what happened.
No, but I'm thinking of, like, power back, like, with the Gulf War, where, like, America aided... I actually don't know enough of the history to say a certainty. I know that there are situations, I can't name specifically, where like America has aided groups to overthrow their government and then like not been involved in things beyond that, and then that's resulted in a power vacuum that has, you know, created bad regimes, and then later we've been like, oh crap, we need to. But also I think there's also something problematic about, like, you know, occupying and then imposing the imperialistic culture onto that group. Like,
no, I'm saying that's bad, but I'm saying that, like, Digimon is a glorified view where it's like they come in and then they're like, okay, we took over the bad guys and now we want nothing, like, we had no stake in this.
Yeah.
So we just keep going.
And it's also like, and everything is better now. Like, everything is fixed and everything is great.
Yeah, like...
But I think...
And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Part of, like, perpetuating that narrative is that, like, it seems like... It makes it seem like in the real world that's a good course of option. Or that, like... Yeah. And
actually...
Sorry, what were you saying?
Well, I was going to go talk about the Hunger Games, so you probably don't want me to do that.
Well, Jeff just talked about One Piece, so you can totally talk about the Hunger Games.
That's true. So I was going to say that it's actually one of my biggest complaints about, like, the ending of the Hunger Games is, like, okay... And we killed all the bad people, and, like, it's implied that there's struggle, but it's like, now you have to rebuild your whole society. Like, that sounds super awful and hard. Like,
yeah.
There's no way that that was actually, like, a smooth transition. Don't even play with me.
So I want to read, this is from an article from everydayfeminism.com, which I don't know if that's, like, a good website or not, but whatever. This article seemed on point. So it says, for instance, it, being a white savior narrative, racializes morality by making us consistently identify with the good white person saving the non-white people who are given much less of an identity in these plot lines. It also frames people of color as being unable to solve their own problem, and implies that they always need saving, and that white people are the only ones competent enough to save them. This is obviously untrue, and it's a harmful message to relay. Us white feminists, okay, that's weird to, I guess this website's for white feminists, whatever, anyway, are certainly not immune to this, not by a long shot. We often think that we know what's best for people of color. We talk over people of color because we're so used to hearing our own voices that we don't even notice that we're centering ourselves again. We rush to rescue those who don't need or want our savior, like Muslim women who wear hijab. Instead of consulting Muslim women about this matter that truly only concerns them, or affects them, white feminists have long assumed that we know what they want, and it's to be liberated. The movies tell me I'm the one to do it. Yeah.
Yes.
So, but
this is also, like, not new to this season of Digimon. Like,
right,
if you
yeah.
go back to Adventure, like, it's actually much more blatant there.
I feel like part of it feels different because, like, they have partners, maybe?
Maybe.
Right, yeah, I think that's the main thing. Yeah. And it's, like, they are, it's, like, about the partnership between Digimon and humans, whereas this yeah. season is about the humans coming in and becoming the legendary warriors. Like, yeah. it feels much more like there's not that, like, underlying theme about the friendship between the races and them being equals
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of examples. Like, I think of the village with the motorcycle in Tamers, the Orochimon stuff in Tamers. Probably plenty of examples in Adventure and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. But the last thing I want to end on is just that, like, it does seem a little ridiculous to be talking about this in, like, this grand, super problematic racial thing in the context of Digimon, which is, like, this is, like, a silly kids show. But, like, I do think there's an element that, like every piece of media is political. And, like, if kids are raised thinking that, like, these kind of, like, white savior narratives are, like, okay and good and expected and, like, this is how white people should act, like, it informs their decision process later in life if they just internalize it as normal and normalize it. So I still think it's worth pointing it out and being aware of it and discussing its flaws, even if it seems a little ridiculous to talk about in the context of children in the media.
Digimon.
Forever united as one.
Digimon.
Together the battles are won.
Digimon.
Through us let your spirit evolve.
If we're all for one world, then we're going to appropriate it.
What?
Now we're going to read an iTunes review that people left about the podcast. So this one is from Hunting Myths in the US. I was going to say when it's from, but I can't even do the math of when December 2015 was. That was a little over a year ago, right? Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. It is titled, Podigious is Prodigious. Its body is a great podcast sure to make you smile and laugh if you grew up with or even just discovering Digimon for the first time. I'm extremely picky about my podcast, and I have to say that this one is definitely a win in my book.
Cool. Thank you, Hunting Myths. It's a little weird to, like, thank people for these reviews they left so long ago. It's like, cool,
we
thank
hope
you.
Still here.
We've had, like, oh no, we've had interactions with Hunting Myths on Twitter and stuff, so I know they're still around.
Yay!
Yay, thank you. So, and now we do a thing, which I'm trying to explain this because, like, if people have not listened to our feedback episodes in season 3, they might not be familiar with this concept, but we've been doing this thing where we take the body of the review and then translate it back and forth between several different languages and then end up with a really garbled, call it trans-garbled review. And then it's funny. And it's just a fun thing to do with the text. Did we do this before season 3? Have we just been doing season 3 for so long?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh, boy. Okay. So the original title was Podigious is Prodigious, which transgarble becomes
Podigios, surprise.
Okay. Sure. It's a surprise.
Podigios. Cool.
And then
laugh, smile, grew up in a great podcast, discover the Digimon.
Okay.
But make no mistake about my book. I have to say about very picky, you win this one podcast.
We win this one podcast.
It starts off being like, make no mistake about my book. You win this one.
Like, make what? No mistake, you win this one podcast. But you will not win the podcast war.
Oh boy, Ashley.
I will TV show you so hard.
Unanswered questions.
Okay, wait a second. Where is my unanswered question?
I found a way of organizing my unanswered questions this time, which is to just, like, search through my notes for anything that has three question marks. Like, nice. Just naturally in writing my notes, I apparently did that a lot.
Okay, first question. Where are you getting all this chocolate, JP? How is it not melted against your body?
Wait. May from Lost in Translation Mon had a good theory on Twitter, which is that, like, maybe JP isn't actually
about
fat.
About why he has so much chocolate?
No, he's not actually fat. It's just all chocolate.
I mean, when he spirit evolves, all his weight is actually in his chest, not his stomach. So I'm willing to buy that.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, he is like much more. Yeah, he's like pretty slender, like his body when he spirit evolves. As someone who was like felt similarly to JP at the time and felt overweight and stuff, I was like, I don't want to make it seem like I like studied the bodies of these kids when I'm like 27 year old, but like. When I was a 12-year-old, I was like, every time they'd go into like naked form, I'd be like, oh, they're so skinny. I'm so jealous.
They don't have any room for organs.
Yeah. Why can humans become Digimon?
Ask the
Are the other legendary warriors base Digimon? Like, is Rumblemon, does he have some base Digimon right. that he is that is neither legendary warrior mode?
We never see it, but they are regular Digimon.
Huh? Oh, wait, you're saying that, like, Grumblemon is some other, like, Grumblemon is just Grumblemon, or Grumblemon has a base form?
He is a regular Digimon, but we never see this regular Digimon.
So you're saying there is a base form that has the Grumblemon yes. spirit and the Gigasmon spirit?
Yes.
Do they ever spell that okay. out explicitly, or is it just, like, that's the only thing that makes sense?
I think it must be something in the card game.
Mm.
No, well...
No?
What?
They don't have cards for...
They
season?
Do, but the...
Or in the video games, maybe?
I don't... Well, they don't really do much for Frontier for the video games.
Mm.
Except for Battle Spirit 2.
Anyway, I'm curious for, like, what canonical... How canonical this explanation is? Because I don't think the show ever really spells it out.
No.
Don't they say that Churimon gives some evil Digimon the spirits?
Oh, well, so, like, they haven't said that yet, right?
Well, yeah, of
I think they
not.
Did in, like, okay. episode one, actually.
No, they were episode three was when they showed the, like, they talked about the 10 different spirits first time.
Oh, whatever.
Okay, well, I'll keep an eye out for that once Tribumon, once there's actually more explanation about that, because it does make more sense. And I guess they don't need to show what Digimon they were originally before they took on the spirits. But it's also weird because, like, the kids can't just stay in their spirit form the entire time. Yet these Digimon do. They just, it definitely seems like they just are the humanoid spirit and then switch back and forth. Why was Tommy the only one to see his family in the TVs? And like, even if he's the only one saw his family.
Don't care.
But like, why didn't, yeah, it's like, yeah. If, even if Tommy's the only one who saw them, like, why didn't the other kids be like, oh, I want to see my family too? They're just like,
they don't cool. care.
Yeah, they're like, I don't want my mom to be sad.
Yeah.
Screw it. What were the Goblimon doing? The whole time that they were all plotting, like, a Goblimon goes and reports it to Sneemon, and yet they don't try to stop their plan at all before they actually try to execute the plan. I don't understand. Garbage.
There were no Garbagemon.
No, but Zoe, how did you get your clothes dry? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, maybe this makes sense if she could, like, you know, turn into Kazemon and wind them dry or something, but...
Uh-huh, no, that. I think she just sat behind that rock for hours, apparently. Naked.
That's like, it's a great explanation. Like, every minute told JP not to look.
Yeah, don't look. I like how she was like, I have to craftily put on my hat. I was like, you don't need to be sneaky about this.
Well, I mean, she does, because they don't animate her without a hat. Like,
oh my god.
Oh boy, yeah.
I am pretty sure that any explanation that Bokemon gives, like, the history of Cherubimon and the 10 warriors, like, he's missing all the important chunks that connect them all together.
Yep.
Like, before Cherubimon came, the world was beautiful. Then he made Digimon evil, so fractal codes. I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Sure, I'll buy that. So many questions.
This is more of a, like, it's more of a, like, oh my god, this logic makes no sense, but the Candlemon village, they say that they, like, took the fractal code for the bridge to protect the village, but, like, how does trains not being able to pass over the village protect the village? And, like, the kids only get to the village because they can't cross the bridge. Like, having the bridge makes them more protected. Like, it made no sense. The whole thing was just like, oh yeah, we like legendary warriors, but we don't believe you are. Oh wait, here you are in that form. We're going to keep attacking you. And now we have another, now we have a Wizardmon that came out of nowhere. And like, now it has a fractal, and now we're, okay, now we didn't act. Yeah, you were good guys. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Also, how do you take a fractal code? Like, how does this mechanic specifically work? There's no...
It's just data, and you can eat it, apparently.
I buy that much more. Like, it's... I feel like they've illustrated it enough to, like, we can fill in the dots. It's not like we need to know, like, the specific mechanics details. I'm much more frustrated by, like, Digimon seem to be able to just, like, fuse or cross or combine or whatever into bigger forms willy-nilly all of a sudden. And it's, like, never mentioned as an actual mechanic. It's just like, oh, there are three bad guys. Now they're one big bad guy. Cool.
I mean, we've seen this before in other seasons.
Really?
We have explained. Bakemon combined to make Bakemon.
But that was, like, that was weird.
The what's it called in attack?
Oh, yeah, the attack,
Beelzemon.
Yeah, the Cresselimon turn
Beelzemon,
into...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they become the bigger thing.
That did happen, but, like, I assumed in that case it was, like, one of them absorbed the data, the others... because of that data absorbing mechanic in Tamers. And the Bakemon, I just figured, was like, since they're all just ghosty matter, they just became a giant ghost. Come at me, bro! More cases. I'll shoot them down!
I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, I don't know why I was being arrogant. Any more question?
No.
Why was Sneemon drinking tea?
Was he?
He's a refined mofo!
Like, yeah, I don't know if that was tea, but like, it was drinking, like, why was he, drinking something with a straw. Like, what? It was so bizarre.
Why would you drink tea with a straw?
Why not?
Because you would burn your tongue like that.
Well
it could be iced tea.
Yeah, I think it was iced tea. It was ice cubes, I think.
Oh.
Also, he's Sneemon. I don't think he can, like, hold a glass or a cup up to his mouth.
Can he even hold anything?
If he's careful.
Know. I think that scene is there to be like, ooh, this, like, evil manager is, like, drinking something, and they're, like, being evil, and, like, you have no idea what kind of Digimon it is. And then it's, like, it's Sneemon who was drinking out of the straw. It's really bizarre. Actually, no, I think they do call him Sneemon in that scene. Whatever.
Ridiculous dialogue draft, where we each go around and pick our funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching line from the episodes. We're doing one because apparently we all thought the humor was very, very bad, and obviously we didn't think they were touching because we really disliked all of them.
It's kind of sad. This is like a record for most episodes we covered, and we're like, yeah, there's no, we have so few choices for this. We're just doing one.
I feel like I could have done more.
I could have done more, but I'm like, most of these are bad, and they should feel bad.
Yeah. All right. You want the order?
Yep.
Yes.
Andrew, Ashley, whoa. Jeff, me.
Okay.
I'm going to pick one from episode 4, and it's when they're being served the soup. So, Bokemon says,
delicious! It's great
food!
No. For listeners who haven't seen the episode recently, it's coming out of their brains.
It's
their heads.
It is
they
their
have
brains.
No, they don't have brains.
Yeah, they don't. They
really it's just don't. A hole.
Who was second?
Okay.
Ashley.
Me, right?
Ashley, yes.
I will go with a thing from episode 5, and it is when they're in the Kakuamon slave quarters, and they're explaining things and whatever. The one Kakuamon is like... describing torture methods, and at the end he says,
and if all of that doesn't work, they show us pictures of people's feet. I've gotten so jumpy these days, I feel like there's a kangaroo in my pants.
It's like, what?
What?
And then it pans down to show that it doesn't, he's not wearing pants. Like, yeah. What?
Yeah. I wrote that one down too.
Yeah.
That was just strange.
That was actually one of the ones where it was like so strange. So specific, so, like, blatantly weird that I was like, all right, this is definitely going on here.
Okay, so mine is from episode 7, and it's, so they're in, like, the toy island thingy thing, and they're trying to find Tommy, and they find out that he's in the castle thingy, so Koji's like...
In that creepy castle? How can it be creepy? It's lavender! Never underestimate your enemy.
And then, like, the long signs while they're running, and then Takuya's like...
It's just so lavender. It's just so lavender. It's just so lavender. It's just so lavender. It's just so lavender.
So lavender.
I mean, my favorite part is when Koji says, never underestimate your enemy. It's like,
Lavender.
How are you doing that?
How am I doing it? Why?
How?
With the soundboard.
Lavender.
But how are you doing just one part of the sound?
I mean, I made two different soundboard clips.
Oh.
Hey, Ashley.
Wow.
Ashley,
why would you do that?
What color dress do you have in here?
Lavender.
I don't think that's true, but okay.
Yeah, I'm in the dark. I also can't see color in general, so.
What color does Zoe wear?
Lavender.
Oh my god.
Hey,
so good.
What's that town in Pokemon where
everyone dies?
Yeah, what's that town called?
Lavender
Town.
You could probably find a soundproof other than saying town.
What's in your soap?
Lavender.
And chamomile.
I can't think of any other uses
of
lavender.
That's not how you pronounce chamomile.
Whatever.
Lavender.
No, Takiri would have soap that's
lavender.
And
lavender.
That's his soup.
Now imagine Matt saying it.
Lavender. I always imagine Matt saying it because Takiri is Matt.
Hey, Matt, what do you want Sora to dress up in?
Lavender.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Doubtful.
Okay, wait. Hey, Matt, what do you want Ty to dress up in?
Lavender.
Ah, nice. Nice.
Astro approved.
Yes.
I actually can't imagine. Like, I feel like Matt would never articulate that much. Like, would never be that, like, gung-ho enthusiastic about a line.
It's just so lavender.
I mean, he has his moments.
It's just so
what
lavender.
What about Try Matt in the dub? Except Ash didn't see that.
Wait, who was that? It's like a guy who's done a lot of dubs, right? Yeah.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
All right. Is it my turn now?
Yeah.
Steph,
no.
Are you done?
Am I done with
yes.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
I forgot that Ash didn't go yet.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So mine's from episode 4, and I think JP's bad-mouthing Takuya. Yeah, it must be Takuya. Koji's not around yet to badmouth, so he's talking about how much of a jerk Takuya is, and he says,
"It's like I'm the beef and he's the jerky."
Do you think she's listening?
Nope. She's the most sarcastic. I appreciate Pokemon a lot more this time.
Wait, wouldn't that be Zoe?
No, Pokemon said it.
No, Pokemon says, "Do you think she's listening?" And then JPE makes
no,
an embarrassed
I mean...
face.
We said it was he was making fun of Takuya.
He was bad-mouthing Takuya to Zoe. They were split up at that point because Takuya didn't think Zoe was going the right way. But she was right. I would like to chop one up to the girls being right column in Digimon. It's a very rare column.
It's this way. No, that way. Don't you think the forest terminal would have forests?
I actually thought like that was like there had to be something misleading about that for there to be a debate. Turns out, no, there wasn't. Takuya was just being stupid. Like,
yeah, Takuya was just like. And but Takuya was the jerk about it because he was like, "You're wrong," and she was like, "Why? Just because I disagree with you? Also, here are my reasons." And he's just like, "You're wrong."
He said it's on this track. The other one curves, and I was like,
"Oh yeah, that was his reasoning."
Choo choo! Now we're pulling into the station. At the terminal for our terminal judgment. Any last thoughts about this arc before we wrap it up? Anything you want to say? Any people you want to hate on?
Tsunamon is digivolving his differences and never stopping to digivolve.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
No, really, he learned to say Tsuno to drugs.
Okay, sure.
So if you have any lingering thoughts, we need to rate the terminals in this episode. So a flame terminal.
Oh, wait, that was the flame terminal, the first one?
Yeah.
It's really sucks.
3 stars.
Yeah, that was a pretty underwhelming terminal.
It was just, like, pretty even. It's our first terminal, so we don't really have much of a thing to compare it to.
It catches fire.
It does?
It's fire!
Would not recommend on Yelp.
2 out of 5 stars.
Are we seriously rating the terminal?
I mean, I don't know how serious it is, Ash, but, like, it is the thing that just happened.
Oh, I abstain.
Any of the new Digimon we met worth commenting on?
Nope.
I like
Pandamon.
Pandamon!
Pandamon! Yes!
I didn't realize Pandamon was so small at first. Like, Pandamon seemed big in one shot and then was, like, smaller than the kids.
He tiny.
Yeah.
Pandamon. I like him.
Andrew, do you have a favorite Trailmon?
A favorite Trailmon out of the ones we've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you asking him to rate Trailmon? Like, how could you do such a thing? Like, asking someone to rate their children?
Yeah.
No.
You just don't do it to their face.
No. They'll know.
Oh, okay. We didn't really talk much about Grumblemon.
What's to say about Grumblemon?
He has a accent.
Okay, his like character, his speech affectation is pretty annoying and whatever. But like, I was surprised at how much it seems when looking up things, people generally don't like him as a villain. Like, they think he's kind of like stupid and not like a threat worth taking seriously and stuff. But I really like him so far. We haven't seen like his full arc, and I think it's a lot more focused in the next chunk of episodes. But I think it's interesting how he's introduced, and I think the episode overall, that episode where he's introduced, is more tightly written than others. You know, like, there's actually a reason why they're going to save the women are held hostage to get information, and then once the Karatsuki Numemon think that they're legendary warriors and think the legendary wars are bad, and I don't know, it's like felt like there are a lot of moving parts that actually felt like they fit together in ways that don't normally they're a lot more like things are happening for random reasons. And Grumblemon's appearance, like, he's able to, as just like 1-on-3, kind of trounce them by just being tactical and being wily, and, you know, like, even if he's not any stronger than them. And then once he's able to just like pull out the Gigasmon card, it's like, whoa. I mean, I knew it was coming, but like, it's pretty soon to, because if you think of the human spirits as being champion level and the beast spirits as being ultimate level, which at least like on the wikis and stuff, it does refer to them that way. They loosely fit that, but like episode 6 is really early to bring out the ultimate card. Like, it didn't happen until 20 of Adventure. So I think that's pretty surprising and makes him seem like a threat. Did anyone else feel like he was actually a menacing threat? What we've seen him so far? You don't like? No. Do you like him at all?
No.
He could be worse, though.
Didn't think that he was menacing, but I was like, okay, I mean, sure, he's fine.
Mm.
But also, you reminded me of a gender thing that I didn't like.
The not women?
Not just that they had to save the women, but
our
like
our women.
The way they referred to them as objects, like the women.
All five of them.
God.
Okay, sure. But also the fact that female Digimon apparently have very prominent eyelashes, which I think is bogus because, like, humans' eyelashes are not very different. The only reason that women's eyelashes are highlighted is because they put makeup on them. Digimon are not putting makeup on their eyelashes to make that some sort of physical attribute.
I mean, they could
difference.
Be. We don't know that they don't.
They don't have hands!
Yeah. What do you know about snail makeup, Ashley? Are you saying snails can't use makeup?
Are you for serious?
But also, yeah, I think it's actually true in among humans anyway that men's eyelashes are actually longer, generally.
Mm.
I think that may be a thing.
Makes sense, probably, because they are generally bigger.
It's definitely true in shoujo.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're generally hairier, for sure.
What?
Dudes.
The guys are, okay.
In real life, not in shoujo.
Obviously, in shoujo, they lack lots of hair.
Yeah.
I guess, like, when I saw the eyelashes, I was like, at least it's not as offensive as, like, bows.
No, because I think it's more offensive because it makes gender seem like it's some physical thing
right.
that it's actually not. Whereas a bow is an accessory that you put on yourself to emphasize the gender that you want to present.
Like mm-hmm. Mickey and Minnie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
They're literally the same design.
Minnie has eyelashes, though, and Mickey doesn't.
But I could assume that Minnie, like, does her eyelashes or something.
Yeah, because like, she has to believe hands. She does have hands.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that trope of, like, the only difference between guys and girls is this one super effeminate thing. The primary example that comes to mind is the feminist frequency tropes versus women in games video about, I think it specifically talks about the, talks about this trope in general, but the example that comes to mind is the Koopa kids in Super Mario games, where it's like, there's only one girl and like 12 guys, and it's like,
what?
The girl has like a bow.
12?
I don't know how many there are. 7?
There's like 8.
8? Okay, whatever. I thought it was Organization 13. No, anyway. But yeah, it's like, all the guys have this really wide range of designs, and the one girl is just like, they have a bow, because bows are girly, right?
Oh, wait, there's 7.
Anyway, point still stands regardless of the number. So at least this is different in that it's like, it's not like there's a wide range. It's not like there's a wide range of Karatsukunumimon. So it's not as bad as that. But
I'm pretty
still
sure
pretty
the other Digimon who were female had the eyelashes, though. Like a female Trailmon also had emphasized eyelashes.
Wait, is there a female Trailmon?
I don't think there are female Trailmon because they're all voiced by Dave Wittenberg.
There was definitely some other Digimon that had emphasized eyelashes.
I always kind of thought of the mole Trailmon as being feminine. Is that just because they're pink?
Because it's pink.
Huh.
But it's voiced by Dave Wittenberg, so.
Yeah, I don't actually remember a voice. Also, it does have, like, these, like, pipes on its head that could be eyelashes.
I mean, it could have eyelashes, but I don't think it's a girl.
Anyway.
I would argue that in the Japanese it probably was.
I don't know.
We should, so the last thing we need to do in Terminal Judgment is to lock in our MVPs, which is going to be a tough decision this week, considering everyone is so likable. Yeah, so I'm going to go with Koji? Am I? Wait, let me check. No, I'm going with Takuya. I'm going with Takuya, because I feel like he was the least unlikable. Like, Koji, it seemed early on, like, was the most competent and stuff, but then he got arrogant and, like, obnoxious, and... I feel like Takuya, not the greatest leader so far, but, like, least offensive.
Least offensive. Yeah. High praise.
Ashley, who's your MVP?
Tsunamon.
Tsunamon?
Yeah. Tsunamon was the best.
A good choice.
Asher, who's your MVP?
I'll pick Koji.
Oh, Asher's just going to pick Koji all season long.
It's not
Koji, Koji, Koji.
True. It might not be true.
It might not be true. It's not yet written. But it might be.
It might be true. There's no Terriermon here. I really can't say for sure.
No Terriermon. Andrew, who's your MVP?
I have no clue.
I figured you'd pick a Trailmon.
But they're just jerks in the first episodes.
Yeah, it's... It's hard to pick a most valued player right now when I value no players.
Name on.
Oh, really? Oh, boy.
Because he's the only one who hasn't done anything, like, offensive.
Well, I'm annoyed that Namon is somehow supposed to be an audience stand-in when it's like, but he lives in the digital world. He's a Digimon. Come on.
He's supposed to be an audience stand-in?
Like, there's a point where it's like, he's the one that triggers Bokomon going off on a rant about Cherubimon and all the lore. And it's like, you don't need Namon to do that. The kids are enough of an audience stand-in to do that.
Yeah.
But he's like the only one who's not mean right now.
Sure.
Yeah. I was going to say Bokomon isn't mean, but then I realized, no, he like practically abuses Namon. Yeah. Okay. So now that we have our MVPs locked in, wanted to explain our Pottage's Fantasy Draft, which hopefully everyone listening to this knows, but people might be new listeners, or they may have listened to past seasons and not listened to the feedback episodes. And the Fantasy Draft is basically a fantasy league. Unlike the ridiculous dialogue draft, it is more similar to an actual sports fantasy league, where before an episode airs, we ask on social media for people to send in a team of a Digimon and a human. And this last season is supposed to be a tamer team. This season, it's a human and what you want them to digivolve into. And then if we choose either of those two characters as our favorite and as our MVP for the week, then you get a point, and we tally up the points in the season. And each time we also award extra points to the Digivolution line, the human to Digimon team that you choose, that is the most ridiculous and the most desired. So by the time you're hearing this, things are closed for this episode, obviously, but you can participate in the next episode. So keep an eye on social media for us to put out the call for that for episodes 10 through 19.
And you can win stuff. Did you say that?
I did not say that. Yeah, there's a prize. At the end of the season, we'll have tallied up all the points. And at this point, we're recording this before we've actually like launched season 4 yet, so we're not sure what the prizes are. But
the prize is the adventure.
The prize is the friendships we made all along.
I'm going to recommend this week a podcast called Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's. It's an investigative podcast trying to figure out what happened to pizza at McDonald's. Except it's not actually. It's a from a comedian pretending to be an investigative journalist and trying to investigate what happened to pizza at McDonald's and how it tasted. And it's kind of hard to explain the premise and why it's good, but it's really funny. Each episode is pretty short, and there are only so many. I think it comes out bi-weekly. There aren't that many episodes. They're really good. Comedy gold.
It looks like they come out whenever he feels like it.
That might be the case. But yeah, it's really good. Check it out.
Because I'm looking at it right now and there's like one episode that's like released one day later.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, it's each episode is pretty short. The first one especially, I think they get longer, but they still stay under like 15 minutes. So you can definitely check it out easily. See if it's up to your, if it's your kind of thing. Okay, Asher?
I'm going to recommend a manga called Shimanami. Oh, I'm going to mess this up. Shimanami Tasogare.
Whoa.
It's, I haven't finished it yet, so I can't, you know, say too much about, I can't make any promises about whether, like, the story on the whole is good, but the art is gorgeous. It's about LGBTQ.
Oh, it's this one.
Yeah, it's about LGBTQ people in Japan. It does start with a kind of troubling story. It starts, you know, with the idea that being gay and being found out in school is a terrible, terrible thing, like, necessarily. But the art is gorgeous. And I'm shallow enough to admit that I will go through a lot of things for pretty art. And I've heard that it actually is very well done. So take that as you will.
Okay, I'm going to recommend interviews with Monster Girl, specifically the manga, considering there's only been one volume of the anime. Basically, it's normal society, and then there's this subset of people in society like that have differences. Basically, it's just genetic, and they end up being like mythical creatures like vampires, Dahulans, and snow women. And basically, the premise is the main character's a biology teacher at a high school, and he never met any of these demi-humans, also known as demis. And then all of a sudden, new semester, and suddenly he meets like four. So it's him, like, learning their daily lives and their social struggles.
You can find the full show notes of this episode by going to podigis.com/401. Don't forget to go there to vote on your favorite RDD pick, to rate how much you like this arc, and to leave us feedback in the comment section. You can also let us know your thoughts via Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Reddit, email, With the Will, SoundCloud, YouTube, train whistles, possessive nightmares, or by hiding a message in the fold-out page of a book that no one will ever see.
If you want to be featured on the next feedback episode, you can also answer our voicemail question. If you could spirit evolve into a Digimon, who would you want to digivolve into? You can either call 913-CALUMON if you're in the U.S., or email an audio recording of 90 seconds or less to podigis@gmail.com.
Podigis is made possible with your support on Patreon, including support from our champion Patrimon, David Graumon, Diab Jomon, Joe Keto, Kai Lunamon, Kaiser Washi, and Red from Breakfast with Digimon on SoundCloud, and our ultimate Patrimon, who gets to submit topics to us and such, Sam Kruagamon from The Dash Moncast on SoundCloud.
You can find Podigis on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and gifts related to the show. You can find me on Twitter as @DrewSoftman. Jeff?
You can find me in your nightmares as @JeffLeeJeff and on Twitter.
Ashley?
I am @AshMcD00 on Twitter.
And Asher?
I mean, you can try to find me at Asher Dashery on Tumblr, but mostly you'll be seeing my queue.
I feel bad that people sometimes tag you on Twitter. I'm like, aw.
Yeah, and like, I don't know why they bother, because I haven't been on there in several years.
Share the podcast with your friends who bribe you with chocolate, and don't share the podcast with jerks who don't know how to make friends.
Join us next week for a very super, wink wink, episode. And then we'll be back to Frontier in 2 weeks to cover the Beast Spirit Collection Party with episodes 10 through 19. Bye!
Bye.
And remember, never stop Digimon. Should I go with the whiteboard savior narrative number one, or just say Tsuno to drugs?
I like just say Tsuno to drugs.
Okay.
I think that's great. I am unsure about your white savior narrative, especially in the context of this being a Japanese show.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, that's a whole thing. I'm trying to avoid saying white savior.
But that's the name of your topic.
Is it? Oh, it's human saver.
Changed into human saver.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, are you saying that only human, only white people are human? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Raise your hand if you're actually white.
Am I the only one who's supposed to raise my hand?
I think Jeff is the only... Well, actually, I think...
I'm white.
Well, traditionally... Well, yes, Ashley, you are, like, physically white.
Yeah, wait, Ashley, which of us is paler?
Probably you, actually.
Yeah.
But traditionally, Jews were not considered white people for a long time.
Until, like, the 1950s.
So actually, kind of none of us really count as white. Hmm.
Aren't Italians also not white?
Yes. But now they are considered white.
But now they are white.
Wait, but so what percentage?
Because look, race can change.
I think even Irish were not considered white for a while. So actually, Ashley, you still don't.
See, race is confusing, children.
It's a construct.
Wait, Ashley, Andrew, what percentage white are you guys?
Half.
Half?
Yeah, okay. Like, are you counting our Jewish half as white?
Yeah.
In that case, yes, half. But, I mean, that white part of us comes from a lot of different places. One of the largest groups being Lithuania. And I don't know how many people will actually, like, how many Americans would think white and think Lithuania.
I don't even know where Lithuania is.
You're a bad person.
Do. Recording about Frontier. This is so bad, I'm gonna cut this out. Someone else could take the lead and please do it.
No.
What?
No, none of us ever do this. You are the only one.
It worked. It seemed to work a lot better for the Tamers song.
Welcome to Podditches, episode 401. Andrew is taking over the show.
Ooh.
Ooh, okay.
Some mutiny there.
Try to revitalize a town's tourism industry, which has been ruined by mushrooms, because mushrooms are terrible.
You are wrong.
It's true. No, no.
No, no,
mushrooms
no,
are the worst.
You are mushrooms are false. No, no.
Worst vegetable.
By themselves, they definitely are.
What?
Worst vegetable.
They're not
worst.
A vegetable.
Worst fungus.
False.
Worst thing you can put in your mouth and it's supposed to be tasty.
Worst food.
No, I can think of some much worse ones.
Like mold?
That would be pretty gross.
It's a high standard. Better than mold. Mushrooms. Better than mold.
JP gets sad that he's the only kid without a fancy spirit toy after they visit a town of factory workers trapped in poverty and slavery. Slavery. I hate myself.
You're going to mess up. It's a natural thing.
Yep. Do I have to repeat the whole sentence?
I mean, do you want to repeat the whole thing? I would feel a little embarrassed if I had said that. And learn about the terrifying danger of mixing puberty with public education. I almost said pubic education.
Pubic no! education.
Oh. No, I didn't even want to think about that as puberty, and then you just made it worse.
It totally is. He's the one with a horn, too. Like,
oh, no, stop.
Oh, God.
So, Capurimon has two horns.
I mean, he's totally the one who's like, I'm so mature. I'm so much more mature than everyone else. And like, they're like, no, you're going through changes.
I didn't want this. This is not what I wanted on my Sunday. Go to church.
Go to church.
Said the rabbi.
Yeah, said the rabbi.
Purify yourself after listening to this.
To the other Jews.
Right. I can't believe we're calling the next section Coastal Clash. So.
Whoa. You want to do Shoho Showdown still?
Yeah, but it's okay. I don't care.
Ashley?
Yeah, Asher's feelings will just be hurt forever.
Ashley was not interested in rewatching Shaolin Showdown with me. I was really annoyed.
I never watched it.
If she never watched it, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be really, like, stupid.
It's basically just a cheap version of Cardcaptors.
It's not an intelligent show.
It did not age well either.
I'm curious to see how it falls apart.
I have better things to watch.
Yeah, ooh, like Sailor Moon. And,
yeah,
with
186
me.
Episodes of Sailor Moon.
Well, we can always ask Lost in Translation Mon for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Considering they're also doing Frontier.
Woo!
Choo choo. I thought that's what you're doing.
No, it was not.
No, he was just saying woohoo. Because he likes Frontier for some reason.
I love Frontier.
I'll read the question, they'll answer, and you just write their answer for each. And it should be easy because you just write, enter, write, enter.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
And it's just first name, right?
Yeah.
How is Koji spelled?
With just the K-O-J-I.
Okay.
Incorrect.
Yeah. That's how the dub... Actually, it's not consistent. Yeah, that's how the Hulu subtitles at one point spelled it with a U. I was like, oh, okay. Hi there.
Not really.
Yeah.
It's on Hulu?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why am I watching it on Crunchyroll?
Which was helpful, because Crunchyroll was down for part of last night.
Yes, that is true. That happened. Right now, he's the mysterious light person, which actually is making me think about him in Kari lights, fascinatingly enough.
I just realized that I didn't get to, like, use the joke of, like, he has a sword of revealing light. But
what?
It's a Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Or I'm not giving light. You that. Jeff, he does not reveal anything, so it's not a sword of revealing light.
Yeah, but it's a sword of light.
Ridiculous dialogue, Jeff. How many are we doing?
I think we should just do one each.
One?
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't find much of the humor, like, that it worked out of context.
Or in context.
It didn't work at all.
Cruel. Cruel.
It's true.
But true.
You can also let us know your thoughts via Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Reddit, email with the will, SoundCloud, YouTube, Skywriting. That's not the thing anymore.
That's not what it said.
I changed it.
That's not it what it said.
Okay.